B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Yeah. Lurch Stevens. Mike Missinelli. Mike, 97.5, we live. It's like coming to you live from City Line. You know the time. 2 to 6, Mikey Miss. 97.5, no matter where you at, tune into the show. I'm telling you, television, telephone, radio, let's go. He got the city on lock, and it ain't a question. Been on top a long time, and he's still flexing. Came a long way from the barrel that raised him, but never forgot where he came from. Cause he taking your calls, talking about y'all, talking about life, man, he talk about it all. Smooth on the mic like a fade away from Jordan. He turned into a beast when that light save recording. Top shelf, A1 guest around the globe. Best interviews and topics you didn't know. Sparring with callers, back and forth like a Google chat. His resume speaks for itself, yeah, you can Google that. There he is, it's the man you've been waiting for. The sports talk author Fonzarelli, Mike Missinelli.
Yeah, it's a Friday cool day as we await the finale of the series between the Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers, which shouldn't go more than 4 games. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. How's everybody doing out there on a beautiful Friday in the Delaware Valley? And, you know, I don't like the many-day lull between games. I just don't like it. It's funny because you know, the journalists in this town, the ones that write stories, have to write stories to fill time. Like, they have to fill these days with stories. Like, what more can you read? With James Harden on board, the Sixers are slowly starting to figure it out, right? It's an off-day story. Like we haven't read enough. And these poor guys, they have to write stories. At peace with role, Tobias Harris is finding new ways to contribute to the Sixers' dominance of the Toronto Raptors. So like all these little stories that we want to absorb, but we go, just get to the game. Let's just get to the game and let's get finished this series. And then we'll reevaluate everything as they play a better team, which they will in the second round. And, you know, the thing about Philadelphia fans is we're smart. Like, we don't go, okay, well, now they're going to beat the Heat because of the way they look in the series. Every series is different. And if they stumble in game one, then we're going to go back to being the same complainers. Well, Doc didn't do this, and Tobias didn't do that, and Harden can't get by anybody. So this is why I want the damn game to come, and it's going to come soon enough. It'll be tomorrow. All right. So here's what I will pose this question just for laughs and giggles, since there's not a lot of substance to get into today. We've talked about all the angles of this series and what the Sixers are doing after they won game 3. So here's the question. If the God of sports came to you and said, okay, here's the deal. You can trade a game 4 win for a split in Miami in the next series. Would you take it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You would?
Not a second thought.
You would extend the series and look ahead. That's presuming an awful lot. Connor Thomas is with us today. Tyrone is off. Jen is with us, of course. Jen, you drinking coffee? Is that coffee?
I am, yes.
It's the biggest mug I've ever seen.
I know, it's big, right?
Got that filled?
It's Taylor Swift. It's not all the way full.
All right. Well,
it's like 16 ounces of coffee.
I mean,
it's bouncing off the wall by 4 o'clock.
It's the biggest, option that the Keurig offers.
It's the big Keurig option.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a big cup of lousy coffee.
It's skinny. It's not lousy. It's not terrible.
All right. Well, in any event.
You just hate it.
Where was I? So Connor, you're telling me you would say that you would give in to the God of Sports. The God of Sports goes, oh, you got to lose game 4. I mean, you got to extend to game 5. You extend another game. You never know about injury, stuff like that.
Yeah, right? I know. The injury is the only concern, though.
Right. So you're telling me, because they're going to series anyway. So I'll give a game 4 L in order to split in Miami.
Absolutely, no doubt. Because you split in Miami, I like their chances back up here in Philly.
Okay, but suppose they win game 4 and they go to Miami and win 2.
Well, that's fine.
You're giving in to the gods of sports.
Yeah, well, I'm getting a guaranteed thing. A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
But you're a young guy. You want the consensus, like betting a money line on a big favorite.
I don't know.
Betting it's betting a
totally
1-2 horse.
This team, like, we're seeing what they're doing against a Raptors team that's bereft with injuries that probably wasn't all as good as they looked coming into this series to begin with. Miami is not that deal. Like, Miami is a solid basketball team. So if you can guarantee me one in Miami and give me a chance to come back here and take two at home and take a big lead in that series, absolutely I'm taking that.
Oh, I see you're afraid of Miami a bit.
I'm still worried. I still, like, I think the Sixers have a tough matchup, and I think we've seen that in the times that they've played Miami this year.
Okay. Miami didn't have Embiid, though. So, Jen, I'll pose the same question to you. Goddess basketball comes down.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks like he's got a basketball head. The god of basketball.
The god of basketball.
Yeah, the god of basketball, like Mr. Met, but it's a basketball head.
I like it.
And he comes to you and he says, would you trade a game four loss for a split in Miami?
Yes, absolutely.
You would do that too?
Yes. Yeah.
See, I would not.
I know.
I would not. I want this series over.
I know.
I don't want to go to a game five and extend my dudes.
I
get it over with, and I'll take a full strength team to go into Miami and do that anyway.
It makes perfect sense. It does. But I am a little scared of Miami, too. So.
Wow.
Yeah. I would take it.
All right.
I think we can beat them, but a little scared. A little shaky.
How many people would take that?
I mean, they haven't made it out of the second round since 2001. So, like, if you can give me one game already in the second round, I'm taking that.
All right. Every time I bring up Ben Simmons, people go, you got Ben Simmons derangement syndrome. I don't care if I do or not. I'm going to pound this guy for the rest of his career. I hate this man. All right? So I'm going to bring it up anytime I get it. Anytime that he does something foolish and stupid that people don't recognize, I'm going to bring it up. Now, I don't know what the media does in New York. I worked up there for a couple of years. I don't know how they are now. But for these people out there to put up with his nonsense day in and day out without ripping this guy as a fraud means they're way softer than the media in Philadelphia. This guy is stringing you out up there. He's stringing the whole fan base. He's stringing the players on the Nets. He's stringing out a whole organization who traded for him in hopes that he would help them win. And now he says, I'd like to target game four, but I don't know how my body's going to feel. This guy's scared to death to play, and nobody calls him on it up there. It's disgraceful. To the state of journalism, it's disgraceful. Do we have him?
Yeah,
we have sound of Ben?
Unfortunately, right. we got to hear this guy.
Listen to him. Now, it was a foregone conclusion. They were supposed to play game four. I'll definitely game four. Because he's shirking game three, pushing it ahead to game four. Now he's starting to think about it. Well, I don't know about the game four either. Listen to what he has to say.
I've heard, Ben, some people have said, like, why does a guy want to try and play who hasn't played all year in this situation without having a training camp? Or why do you say, like, this is worth doing right now when... my body feels.
Yeah, I mean, body-wise, it's, once my body's ready, I want to be able to, help this team win. That's what I'm here for. So, it is what it is. I got to get on the floor and help this team win. I've been traded to the Brooklyn Nets, and that's what they need me to do. So, that's my focus right now.
If you see your team struggling on defense and know what you've
been doing. It's frustrating. Yeah, it's so frustrating. Yeah, yeah. especially when you're not out there and able to contribute. But I'm doing what I can, being vocal on the bench, talking to my guys, helping where I can.
Oh, my God.
So little things like that, I'm just doing what I can at this moment. And obviously, when it's individual workouts, doing what I can on that side to get back on the floor.
Do you start thinking, when I get in, I'm going to do this, that?
Always, and that never changes. Every time I watch a basketball game, he should be there, he should have cut, different things. That's just how I'm wired, so.
That's how you're wired? Listen to these soft questions out there for those wimps. The guy says, well, why is it worth doing at this point, if you know what I mean? It's worth doing because he's getting paid to do it. He's getting paid. He has a responsibility to his teammates, to the city. Why is it worth it? That's the question a guy asked?
That's just,
what kind of mamby-pamby crap is this up there?
It's unbelievable. And if you hadn't seen him do it for the past 5 years down here, I can understand giving him the benefit of the doubt. But there's a whole book on the reasons why you should be grilling this guy on what he's doing and frankly stealing money.
I can't believe that they're pandering to this guy. He's defrauding the whole organization. We didn't even get to the part where he said, game four, hopefully I'm ready for game four, but it all depends on how my body feels after the workout, which means he's not even committed to game four. Well, you got to be kidding me. This guy intentionally did not play basketball, which meant when he was traded, he wasn't ready to play basketball. He's defrauding the whole organization, and nobody will call him on it.
And he's more focused on trying to get the money back that he was rightfully fined down here than actually playing for the team that traded for his rights.
See, listen, I know he's not a Sixer anymore, and he shouldn't be my concern. Well, an athlete who defrauds any fan blanches me. It just makes me, it makes me ill. And knowing the character of that guy and what he did here, and now how he's transporting it up there, are they oblivious to it? This is, like, I care about journalism. I hate mamby-pamby asses. I really do. Is there anybody with cool yuns up there to go, hey, dude, you know, you're the one that caused the situation by being lax about your training, and now you're letting your team down. How's that feel? How about if you suck it up and play? What is going on?
And it's New York. You would think that they would do
what
that.
What kind of mamby-pamby people are up there? Why would it even be worth risking your health at this point? Oh, come on. I can't stand it. All right. Let's have a fun show on a Friday here. That guy just gets under my skin, and people let him do it. He hit the wall here, and we let his ass have it in print and in voice. And he's up there, la-di-da-di-da. I mean, wear this pair of shades tonight and some designer sweatshirt, and I'll sit there and I'll rally my team. I'll talk to my guys. Cheering from the bench.
How'd you get on the floor, dude? How about you play basketball for the first time in over
a year? Is there a columnist up there with any balls at all? 610-632-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
2 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, Friday. Friday's always a special show because we can talk about anything and bounce around and do some different stuff and have our conversations go, you know, all over the place. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's county locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Let's start our Twitter poll. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by, powered by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. If you've got a mower, like I started my mower today because I got mower maintenance. My good friends at Moyer. And you should too because, you know, you don't want it to stall out or not start. It's annoying. So you schedule your mower maintenance at poweredbymoyer.com. Jen Scordo with today's Twitter poll. Jen?
All right. Here's your option from the god of basketball. The Sixers lose game 4 against the Raptors, but they get a guaranteed split in Miami to start round 2 against the Heat. Are you taking the deal? You can answer yes or no. Right now, 32% say no. 68% say yes.
68% say yes, they're taking the deal.
Yes. Going against you, Mike.
Well, listen, why can't I have it all?
This is why
I say no to the deal, because I can get a game 4 win,
yes,
and still hope for a split.
Yeah,
in fact, I expect a split. So why would I bargain away my game 4?
Guaranteed.
That's the way people have to look at it.
Yeah. See, what we're choosing is the layup shot. We're choosing to lay up and have a nice chip onto the green. And meanwhile, you're looking at it like, I can make it in there. And I can go ahead
I'm hitting a 6-iron from 170.
Absolutely. You're getting there.
Okay. And
yeah, we're choosing.
All right. Listen, yeah, to each his own. That's what I say. All right. So tomorrow, afternoon game. I love afternoon games, by the way.
I know.
Yeah, I love timing. Perfect timed game.
Yeah, now it's going to be a nice day. So that's yeah, that's no good.
I'll go outside and watch it.
I'll do a little golf in the morning. By the time I get home, perfect timing.
It's going to be a great weekend for golf.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
Sunday too.
Oof, 80. Saturday and Sunday.
Look at you.
I'm ready to go. With a bad wheel.
Uh-oh.
I got the bad wheel I'm going to play on, but I'm still undaunted.
Is it your lead foot or is it your back foot? Back foot, you got
my lead foot.
Okay, that's not as
right
bad.
Hand. It's the left foot
because you got to push more off that back foot, so it's not as bad.
Listen, man, I'll put my left foot up in the air and smoke it.
All right, Mr. Confident over there.
High leg kick, love it.
Yeah, I'll leg kick it. All right, let's go to phones and talk to Pat in Delco to start things off. What's up, Pat? Hello, Pat.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
Doing well. How you doing?
Good.
First of all, awesome 3 wins. Close one, but I'm glad we pulled it out a couple nights ago. That was great.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about Harden. I feel like he's been good, but he hasn't been great. I feel like his heart's not in it. He's not as good as he was in his MVP form. And Maxey's been good. He's been stepping up, but I feel like it'd be great if we had another offensive threat aside from Harden.
Well, they're going to do that in the offseason.
Yeah, so that's what I want to talk about. So I hope this.
Wait. First of all, like, why has Harden not been in it? Like, according to your standards, why? What do you mean he hasn't been into it?
I just think if you look at him, like when he was on the Rockets in his prime, he was just better than he is right now. That's what I'm. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's not into it. Like he's been a tremendous facilitator, and it hasn't hurt them that he isn't scoring to that extent.
That's fair. I get that, Michael. I just think, I don't know.
They need another offensive threat next year, and I think they will acquire that. But, you know, there are two things here with Harden. Either he's not 100% with his legs, which I don't think he is, or he has reached an age where he's not going to be as good.
Yeah, and I would love to have more of like just a leader, like a proven winner. And I hope in the off season we can go to get that. So maybe like on a.
So to you, James Harden is not a proven winner.
Not without a ring, I don't think.
Okay, so of all the great players who haven't had rings, were they not winners? This is the thing about where, like, who did he have to beat all those years in Houston?
Some unbelievable talent, some historic talent.
Exactly, the Golden State Warriors, right? It's just like when the Bad Boys couldn't beat Michael Jordan, right? They couldn't beat those Bulls teams until they finally cashed in.
I think Detroit is still hurting from that. I think that they could have found someone else. But my point is, we need a proven winner.
Yeah,
and I think in the offseason, if we could get someone who's like a locker room leader,
and who would that be? Who do you have in mind?
Eli Manning.
Why do you have to waste my time, man? Why do you waste my time? Like, we had a good conversation going there, and then you turned out to be a jerk off, and you waste my time. Like, what's the point of that?
There's no point. Didn't even lead it.
Do you feel proud about yourself?
Stupid.
Like, come on, man. But his point is, and a lot of people say this. Well, he's not a proven winner. What makes a proven winner? If your team isn't good enough to win, does that mean that you didn't try as much as hard to win? Like Charles Barkley was not a winner. Like you great players that are in the top 50 of the world were proven winners. I don't understand that what that means.
Yeah, by his metrics, you wouldn't want prime Iverson because he never won a ring.
Now is Steph Curry a winner? Well, with a great team, he is, and he's a great player. But, like, do you think the great team helped them? Seth be a winner?
Yes, certainly.
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
That's the thing. When people say that, I don't get it. Look at the wins that Harden has in the playoffs. He's won a lot of games in the playoffs. Does that mean he's not a winner?
No.
I never got that. All right, let's go Duffy and Bear, Delaware. Duffy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Duffy.
First time caller.
What's up, great Duff? How you doing?
Good. Two questions. First one, basketball. Underneath the basket, a gentleman was throwing up a black object every time they shot a foul shot. The Sixers did. I thought there was a rule against that.
I didn't see that. There apparently is no rule because they use those clapping sticks all the time, and they try to distract the shooter as much as they could. What kind of black object was it? I don't know what you're
like
talking
about. Like a black rag or something he kept throwing up every time the guy every time the Sixer shot.
Well, you see the fans behind the basket do a lot of that all the time, right?
True.
Well, so that's not illegal. I mean, it's not. Fans can do anything.
Unless it's a windy frosty.
All right, I got you.
Second question.
Yes, sir.
How come Wild Man Norm Willie isn't in the Hall of Fame?
Who?
Norm Willie. Wild Man Willie.
Yeah.
The Eagles in the 50s.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Who?
I got to be honest with you. What is going on with the first two calls today?
Oh, Fridays.
It's all up from here.
It's all Connor's fault.
Me?
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, Jen. Throwing me right under the bus like that?
Hey, we've been pretty good all week. Now you step in here.
We're 28 minutes in and just full on right under the bus head first.
How come Iron Man Willie isn't in the Hall of Fame?
Probably because no one knows who he is.
He actually asked me that question.
It's got to get better from here.
What's going on? All right, let's go to Jerome and Elwood. Jerome, when Jerome is the voice of sanity, then we're really in trouble. Jerome, what's up?
Hey, man, you going to left-hand compliment me?
Well, listen, the bar is low, my friend, go right ahead.
Then we both, you serve, Mike, and I'll drink, okay?
Okay.
This is the bar.
All right.
Your question, I want to take and get the split because it doesn't matter to me to pump my chest out and say we got a sweep. I mean, there's a broom I could go to my barbershop where we chop it up.
Yeah, but it's not about you getting a sweep.
That's what it is.
No, it's not. It's about getting out of the series as quickly as possible and not having to extend yourself for another game.
You're still winning at that point. But let's move from what my...
No, see, you always want to move on when you bring up a point that I want to discuss. Well, no, I'm not going to let you move on. Let's look at a game five and what can happen in a game five.
Well, you know, you're making the worst case scenario happen.
Well, you got to plan for contingencies.
No,
why would I want an extra game if I don't have to have an extra game?
See what you came up with. Is the fact that we're going to split in Miami. Wouldn't you be happy with that?
Why can't they split Miami and also close them out in four?
Your thing was, it's all or something. I'll take the something. I don't have to have the all.
No, you're probably a conservative guy.
How did you take and see? It seemed as though in the last game, Harden was taking and like forcing the issue. Do you think he has a problem wanting to take and prove that he's not the choker? Because I agree with you. You asked that question. About no matter what it is, when people take and deliver, for me, it's not the fact of whether or not they win the championship. No, his team, Houston, couldn't beat the Spurs, couldn't beat the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Thank you. We're on the same page. I can get that. But of the areas in which he's forced to deliver, you know, the points, particularly the points, he had eps and flows. That's his resume that he has developed. Do I wish that changes? Yes. Do I want him to have a max contract? No, I do not here. Because Maxie is going to develop.
Let me ask you this. Where were the ebbs and flows of a guy's averaging 35 points a game for five straight years?
Why does he have the resume or the name? Mike, you are aware of what
Why do you never answer my questions?
Why
do you never answer my questions?
You tried that counsel thing. We're not having an argument, okay?
Jerome, this is a discussion where you allow the other person to talk occasionally.
Well, you know.
All right, so let me talk. I asked you a question.
We're talking, so talk. Don't ask me a question. Tell me what your thought process is, Mike. You don't have to ask me a question. That's a conversation. Tell me what you feel. Why do you feel it should be, you know, what?
You said he had an up and down career. A guy who averaged 35 points a game does not have an up and down
career. Why does he have the resume?
Because you made him have the resume. Guys like you make him have the resume. That's why. He's had an up and down career, and yet he's been an MVP and a scoring champion. And for five straight years, averaged 35 points a game. Now, tell me how that is an up-and-down career, because you yourself said, well, he just ran up against buzzsaws. He ran up against better teams than that Houston team. So then how has he had an up-and-down career?
Yeah, maybe when you play dynasties, it makes you perform a little bit worse.
If you want to measure what his ability is now, yes, he has appeared to have lost a little luster from that 35-point a game score. And there could be two reasons for that. One, I shudder. The other is, I go, okay, he's not 100% with his legs. We will find out more next year about that. But this year, no, I don't think he has anything to prove. Because I never believe that a guy is not a winner just because his team didn't win. Because he's one guy. And you have to have other team members to really be a truly great team that wins a championship. And if you can tell me a team that won a championship with one guy, because I remember days when that one guy was Michael Jordan, he didn't get a sniff of a championship. So where are these one guy champions? Where are they? They in the weeds?
Yeah,
no. I'm lying in the weeds in Sea Caucus. After this bank job. Anyway. Henry in Wilmington. What's up, Henry?
Mike, that's the quickest I've ever got on the show.
What's up, buddy? It's a lucky day for you.
It is. All right. Well, I was a little prepared, but here we go. All right. So minus game two in Toronto. I'm going to read you some numbers. Mm-hmm. 10, 14. 14, 15, 14, 10, 13. What do you think they are?
I don't know. What are they?
James Harden's a fifth in the last couple
of games. So, in other words, he's playing pretty well.
He's playing well. Why are we freaking out about this guy? Not a proven winner.
Not a proven winner thing is a narrative that people drag along. It's because it's lazy, and then it's easy to carry around in a bag when it's lazy. It's light. When it's lazy, it's light. You carry around.
Maybe he doesn't need to be the guy that he used to be, having to score 40 every night.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee you, if you look at the list of top 50 players in NBA history, you're going to find a lot of guys that never won a championship.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Anthony brought up the point where, you know, Harden's at that age where a lot of guards tend to transition to quote-unquote old man ball,
mm-hmm.
where they work on more floor general and facilitator-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we haven't seen the scoring because Doc has had that approach with Harden so far? Trying to work...
No, I think Harden has always had it.
Scoring in the pocket?
No, I think Harden's always had an old man game. He's just shot it better at a previous time of his career. And to me, when you shoot it better, it means your legs are better. So the only thing I can look at right now is that his legs are not as good as they were. Next year, they may be, but they could not be. It could be that, you know, the legs go, little by little, they go when you get older.
And listen, that's Father Time. And Father Time's...
Exactly. So,
your question. I'm right on point with you. You don't take an extra game just to guarantee something in the next series. If you were to ask the question, do we, lose game four to mm-hmm. sweep Miami in Miami, that might be a different question. But to sweep Miami, I think you're completely right. I think we're going to win game four, and I think we could very well sweep Miami as it is.
Uh-huh. I got you. I'm looking at I'm looking at great players. And you look at the dynasties. All right, let's look at the Lakers. To the point where there's an HBO special on him, right? Now, if Magic Johnson did not have Kareem and Worthy and Michael Cooper and Byron Scott or whoever else you want, would Magic Johnson be considered a guy who wasn't a winner?
He shouldn't be.
I'm just saying. Like, a lot of it has to do with you make yourself a winner by making all teammates better. And absolutely. Because they're good in the first place.
Yes, 100% right.
All right, so primarily, though, they have to be good in the first place.
Yeah, and
for you to have a winning team.
I think James Harden, a guy who's on the list of 75 best NBA players of all time, would be considered a good basketball player, a great basketball mm-hmm. player even.
Yes.
So, there you go. That's an easy enough argument. I don't know why people struggle with this.
I don't know either. Let's go to Joe in Mantua. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good, Joe. How you doing?
Listen, I couldn't agree more about Ben Simmons. I watched the other day that national guy was on. He was saying he had a Ben Simmons infusion of energy. He brings the ball across half court, drops it off, and he's out of the way. They're playing 4-on-5. The national media hasn't figured out what we figured out 3 years ago. The guy's, he's just not that good.
Well, forget the national media. How about the people that cover the Nets? Like, if we were covering a guy who came here from another team, and he was a malingerer and a defrauder, would we be, like, kid gloves in him?
No. Is it really worth it?
You're 25 years old and you're young. I get it, but is it really worth it to destroy your health? What are you talking about?
It's all new to them. They haven't seen Zach for every night for the last 3 years. We have.
Oh my God, it's embarrassing to the profession.
Another thing too, with Harden, he might have taken a step back, but I think Maxey's taken two steps up. And even Tobias. Tobias had one of the best 11-point games I've ever seen.
Yes, he did. I have great admiration for guys who work really hard to defend and rebound, and he's doing that.
Exactly. Like Siakam, he's the guy that scared me in this series. And Tobias hadn't stopped him completely, but he definitely neutralized him.
Exactly.
Without a doubt.
All right,
one
buddy.
One thing. Yes, as far as the split in Miami,
yes.
I want to win tomorrow, and I want both games in Miami.
Well, yeah, see?
This might be your year, Mike.
If you accept the God's offer, then you're not winning two games in Miami.
Yeah, right.
You're just not winning.
I'd absolutely prefer to win two games in Miami.
Okay, well, then that's why I'll take the chance, get the sweep, rest up your weary bones, hang out with Matisse in the park for a little bit, have a cup of coffee, and then say, okay, all right, we're going to go to Miami. And guess what, Matisse, you can come on a plane. And then we go down there and we'll win two.
Yeah, that's
as a matter of fact, Matisse, you won't even have to wear a mask now on a plane, on an airplane.
Or in Philadelphia.
Matisse, in the airport, but when you get in the plane, freedom. Total freedom. There you go.
Just can't walk too near the international departures.
Right. Total freedom. It was so prohibitive, that mask thing on an airplane. It actually made your face change. Let's go, Alan in Villanova. Alan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Alan.
We got quite a show today, man.
What's going on, Alan? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I might have to disagree with you. I think winning a split in Miami was so important that I think I would sacrifice Saturday's game if I could guarantee a split in Miami. Why take that chance?
Okay, well, listen, saying, I don't want to hear you call me if somebody turns an ankle in game five.
I asked your producer. I think I already know the answer to it, so I'm going to admit to a violation. I have tickets for game five, so I'm sort of hoping the game five is played because I'd really like a violation Monday night.
So you would take the chance that Toronto could extend the series even in game five?
No team has ever come back from 3-0 in the NBA.
That doesn't mean that Toronto can't win game five. And in which case, that would make you a selfish bastard.
I said I admitted it was wrong. I acknowledged it. The prices are going to be so freaking high for the rest of the rounds.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. You get the money back if they don't play game five?
Oh, absolutely, except for the service charges, I think.
All right, well, you know, listen, you spend that money on it.
You're same side as my son. He says, Daddy, don't be an idiot. We'll just save it and pay a little more for the next
It's a couple tanks of gas for you there, bro. You know?
You got it. You got it. I love your show, Mike.
All right, Alan. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the call.
Gas is expensive right now.
You're damn right. Although I got it for $3.99 at the Shore, the Wawa.
For real?
Yeah.
Dang, I paid $4.09 yesterday.
Well, that's not that bad.
You're crazy.
It had been way higher than that. Yeah, $3.99. Wawa had it for $3.99 at the Shore area.
How about that?
You know that one, that big Wawa? It's in, what do you call it? It's Route 9, but it's like at the end of C. The road it leads out of C. What is that town called? Ocean View? I think it's called Ocean View.
Not Seaville?
Seaville, I think, is down a bit. Yeah. I think it's called Oceanville, where that is. Ocean View.
I know that Wawa. Yeah. I know it well.
It's a big Wawa. It's a nice Wawa.
And usually down the shore, it's more expensive.
It is?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Why is that?
Everything's more expensive at the shore.
I never found gas to be more expensive down there.
Well, you're usually getting gas in Pennsylvania. I'm used to getting gas in New Jersey all the time.
Yeah, I don't get gas.
So at the shore, it's always cheaper.
I don't get gas in Pennsylvania because there's no Wawa that has gas near me.
But don't you usually get gas in Pennsylvania because you live in Pennsylvania?
No, I wait until I go to Jersey.
And then you get it, all right. That's smart. That's what I used to do.
That's what I do. I get yellow light gas in Jersey is what I do.
And they pump it for you.
Yeah, I don't like that part of it. I told you.
You don't? What?
No, I don't like when people pump it for me.
What?
We gotta get into that at some point.
Oh, I love it.
I don't. I don't like giving anybody my card.
Oh, that's right. We've had that conversation.
Yeah. I don't trust.
When I go to Atlanta and I borrow my parents' vehicles and I put gas in it, I am that Jersey girl now. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, what do I need to do? Where's the thing?
It's two
How
buttons.
Do I do this?
Come on.
So hold on a second.
It's been that long, though, that I've lived in Jersey.
You're such a nice daughter that when you borrow a parent's car, you always put gas in it when you return it?
Yes.
That's very nice.
My father taught me that when I first started driving.
See, there are a lot of people that go, that's the parents.
If you ever borrow somebody's vehicle, you always fill it up. Doesn't matter if it's empty, just a quarter tank. Go fill it up, top it off.
A good lesson, Jen.
Yeah. My dad's a solid dude.
Yes.
Smart man.
All right. This is a 3-minute break. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in on the Mike Masnelli Show. A Friday show, little chill show, and we're back after this.
The Mike Masnelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
247 Mike Masnelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. Well, I've been working really hard to get Jay Wright on today, just because I want to talk to him one final time. I know he had his big press conference today, so he's probably gone.
Oh, he got emotional.
He's probably gone into, he's driving into the abyss right now and doesn't want to deal with anything. But
God bless him.
Yeah, I'm still trying. So, I'd love to give Jay a final on-air plaudatory conversation.
Yeah, because he doesn't get the retirement tour, the victory lap, none of that, with the timing of how he walked away. So
I don't think he wants it.
No, and I think that's fair. But he deserves it. Whether you want it or not, he's a man who deserves to be celebrated.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
All right, so let me just... today, there's two things that I don't understand. When you get to a McDonald's drive-thru window at 10:31, you're out of luck for a sausage McMuffin.
That's right.
Which I don't quite understand. How difficult of it? You already got the grill going. How difficult is it to keep the sausage or egg McMuffin line going?
Wait, so they don't do all-day breakfast anymore? That was just a temporary thing?
I think they do all-day breakfast because... So here's where I got caught, 10:31.
That stinks.
So I see the tip-off is the breakfast menu is no longer up. So I go, I'm just trying to get a sausage McMuffin. Breakfast is over. Oh. And I go, okay, but it's going to take us now, where our transition to lunch is going to take about 10 minutes. Wait a minute. So like I'm in no man's land here? Like there's nothing I can get?
Yeah, you're McDonald's. You got 10
fries,
minutes there?
Something?
Come on.
I was in between. I got nothing.
Oh,
the drive-thru. I go, all right, well, see ya. And I drive, go, now I'm really hungry because I haven't had anything to eat. I was out doing errands. And so it's now 10:35. I see a Panera.
Okay.
I'm not a fan. But I go in because I go, okay, let me see if I can get something here. I get a cup of coffee with it.
Coffee's good.
All right, so I pour the cup, get the coffee. I order on the screen. I get the coffee first. They've got almond milk, and they've got 2% milk.
No, half and half.
I know, hold a second. So I turn to the woman behind the counter. I go, do you have any cream or half and half? She goes, I don't know. I just work here.
I go, well, stop
yeah.
it.
I go, yeah, that's why I asked you.
Right.
Because you do work here. And she's like panicking. She looks, and it was a higher up that was like also working near her. And I get the higher up and go, excuse me, do you have any cream? She looks at me like I have five heads, like I wasn't speaking English.
Dang.
And she goes, no. I go, wait a minute. There's no cream in the whole store? Do you have a refrigerator? I'm like, what is there no cream in your refrigerator?
Oh.
No cream.
Nothing?
No.
What'd you do?
I put frickin' almond milk in it.
Oh.
Because it looked like it was thicker than 2%. Yeah, 2% is like, you know, it looks like water.
2% is terrible in coffee. Oh, I feel for you, Mike. You're 0 for 2.
That was my morning.
No, I'm not a big coffee guy. Does that make a huge difference, the half and half compared to the...
Of course it does. Is it the flavoring or...
Yeah,
it colors it properly. And otherwise, it looks like you're drinking mud.
Yeah. Makes it nice and rich.
Okay. I got you.
It's rich. It's
totally worth the calories. I used to do like fat-free milk back when I was like in college and stuff, thinking I was, you know, trying to stay slim, my girlish figure. And no, it's so worth the calories. I'd rather not have an Oreo cookie at night than not have half and half of my coffee.
How is it possible that a Panera bread would not have any cream? They serve coffee. Like, even if you run to the Acme.
Did you get food?
Yes, I got a tuna sandwich.
Well, at least you got food. And some almond milk coffee.
All right. Well, it's just... apparently it was a foreign object that I was asking for.
And some workers that don't like to work.
I just work here, she says to me. I go...
That's why I'm looking at you.
Let me ask our head of the coffee department.
Huh, just like kind of get the handle, open it up, and see if there's any cream in there.
What exactly does she do all day?
I don't know. All right. Let's take a break. We'll get a full steam ahead in the 3 o'clock hour. 610-632-0975. By the way, is it rude to call work or hun?
Unless you're working at a diner, you probably shouldn't.
Didn't call her hun. I just embellished the story.
Okay.
I just threw in a hun there in that story.
I would not be offended if somebody called me hun, but some people I'm sure would be.
Yeah, it just popped into the story for some reason. Like, hun, I thought hun would be appropriate to tell the story.
It's part of the flair.
That's good. I liked it.
But I didn't actually say hun.
Okay.
I said, excuse me, do you have any cream? I don't know. I just work here.
No.
610-632-0975. The Mike Missanelli Show continues on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock in Delaware Valley. Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, 3 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Core Police Bakery in Delhi, world famous tomato pie. How you can party, chase, every bit is good. So Friday means Brian Westbrook. He's coming up at 4. And before Brian, we got What's Brewing with Jen, which should be fun. All right, so in the 3 o'clock, can we start the 3 o'clock hour? I'm not doing this because of Ben's answer. I'm doing this because of the question. Connor Thomas is producing today with us. Ty is off. I just want to hear the question. If there are any aspiring journalists out there, I don't want you ever to become this. All right? Can we have the question where he's mamby-pamby question guy? All right.
Have you ever heard, Ben, some people have said, like, why does a guy want to try and play when he hasn't played all year in this situation without having a training camp? Or why, you know, why do you say, like, this is worth doing right now when, you know, I don't know how my body feels?
Yeah, I mean, body-wise, is
I don't even want to hear his answer. Why is this worth it for you to play? Many people would say, well, why is it worth it? You gotta be kidding me. Seriously.
Like, what do you mean, why is it worth it?
Is there anybody with testicles up there? Can somebody help me out?
Well, according to Woj, 11 minutes ago, barring any setback, Ben Simmons will play in Game 4 on Monday.
That's coming from the agency, probably. But yeah. Ben said he's not sure about that. He had a chance to say that. He said it earlier. Well, I don't know. Yeah, but depends on how my body feels.
I guess that's the barring any setback.
Yeah, he left barring any setback. He left the setback in there.
Yeah, sat in the gaming chair a little too long Saturday night, so I don't think I'm going to be ready for Game 4. Yeah. Maybe Game 7 if we get there.
Yeah. If they lose, he might play, because then nobody can blame him.
Yeah, because 3-0,
if they win the game, he is not playing in Game 4. Because he doesn't want to be the guy that messes things up, because he's afraid. There is no bigger creep that has ever walked the Philadelphia sporting grounds than that dude.
Yeah.
They're a bigger creep?
Nope. I can't think of one.
Let's get a bum in Levittown. What's up, bum?
How y'all doing today?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm just calling, man, because I'm getting tired of everybody calling and talking about James Harden in Houston. Like, this was 3 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys is calling and, you know, their wives is telling people they wasn't the same man they was last week. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, let's stop thinking this guy's going to be, he's 3 years older. He's playing in a different kind of system. He's playing with a different kind of beast. Let's remember James Harden, when he was in Houston, he was a volume scorer. Uh-huh. He was a shooter. He shot 25 plus times a game.
Uh-huh.
You don't need to do that now. You let the beast shoot 25 times a game. You get your 14 assists. You get your 18 to 20 points. That's what we need. Let's stop looking at the points per game stat line when he was in Houston and say, oh, 36, mm-hmm. 35, 30. Oh, why ain't he doing that here? Like,
yeah, I think people make the mistake of looking at it that way, and you're absolutely right on why it's not 35 a game. But I think people, like this label that he's not a winner is what bothers me even more.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, he didn't have much help. You know, he had
a little bit of help, but he didn't have like Golden State Warrior, San Antonio Spur help, did he?
Exactly. He had a team where them guys missed 27 three-pointers in a row one game. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Those are the guys he was playing with. So, and I just got one more question to ask you before I go, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Is Sledgehammer Sammy Vegas, is he in the Hall of Fame?
Sledgehammer Sammy Vegas? I don't think.
Remember him?
Not the main.
I don't think he is, Bob. That's awesome.
That was a good one.
All right, thanks,
right
man.
That was a good one.
Sledgehammer Sammy Davis. How come he's not Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he's in the Hall of Who with Jimmy Johnny whatever from 2 o'clock
hour. What was that guy's name?
Iron Man Willie something?
Iron Willie.
Yeah, Iron Man Willie.
Yeah, he make the. Is there actually a guy named Iron Man Willie, or he just make the name up?
I think he made the whole guy up.
All right. Leo's in Philly. What's up, Leo?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello, Leo.
Hey, I just wanted to, thanks for having me on the show. I just wanted to challenge you a little bit with this James Harden thing.
Okay, go ahead.
He's not a winner. He's kind a winner.
He's not a winner.
Yeah. So a person who's a winner wins championships, right?
Not really. Charles Barkley, was he a winner? He won a championship?
No, he didn't win a championship.
Okay, so he's not a winner?
No.
Oh.
He won a championship.
Yeah, see, the whole concept of he's not a winner is ridiculous in basketball when you need a really good team to win. Give me a team that's only won with one good guy.
He didn't have this one good guy. He had a top five point guard.
And was his team better than the Golden State Warriors or the San Antonio Spurs?
That Golden State Warriors, before they got Kevin Durant, they could have beaten that team. And I'm going to tell you why. I have numbers right here to back it up with this whole choking thing. Mm-hmm. So that San Antonio Spurs that you're talking about, in game 6, he had 2-for-11 from shooting.
Okay.
So this narrative that he chokes, that's why he has
okay, in one game. What did he do in the other games?
Okay. They was eliminated.
Yeah, but like it just wasn't a one-game series. Did he perform in other games in those playoffs?
It's about when somebody says,
no, come on, man. I'm asking you a simple question.
He did.
How many playoff games has he won, do you think?
Listen, I'm going to answer your question. Yes, he did several games.
All right.
But when it mattered, at the moment when it mattered most, when his team was facing elimination.
One game.
He shot 2 for 11.
One game. You're citing one game.
I actually have per year, if you want to listen to the rest of the stats, I have every year that he has bad games in playoffs.
And so your point is what? That he's not a winner and therefore the Sixers are not going to win?
I think they actually can win a championship because they have a dominant center. And I think that's the fastest path to winning a championship.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't like it when you ignore history.
All right, well, here's history. He has played in 75 playoff victories. Now, does that mean he's not a winner? 75 wins.
That's great. That's good.
Okay, said he's not a winner. So one game where he was 2 for 11 defines him as not a winner when I present facts that he won actually in playoffs 75 games.
Well, what I'm saying is I have every year. You're saying one game. I just said one game because I'm
a winner. So 75 means nothing to you?
That's great. But that's not you winning a championship.
All right, okay. I got you. You're a Harden hater. I get it. And you're going to say he's not a winner because there was one game where he didn't shoot well and they lost against a better team. Okay, you're entitled to that opinion. If you want to carry that over, that's fine. So Charles Barkley is not a winner. Probably 75% of the people that are named top 75 players in the league did not win a championship. So they would not be winners. See, this is, when you reduce it to that, it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it totally is. You think about that 2016 Warriors team that LeBron was superhuman to beat. So that team, because they didn't win the championship, that team in that year is not a winning team? Because I'm pretty sure they won a lot of basketball games.
Yeah, listen, man, basketball, I think it's been proven that you just one guy isn't going to make you win. And Michael Jordan's the biggest example of that.
Sometimes 2 and 3 are not going to get you there.
Exactly.
So you can't isolate one guy.
Uh-huh.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Let's go, Paul in Downingtown. Paul, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Paul.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Paul?
This is the best time in the world for me. I mean, I got military friends over the country, and they've been getting at me about his bead for years. But now, man, I'm just enjoying it. I'm having the ball, and I love just twisting the knife right now. It's great.
Yeah.
But my point is, I'm done with Toronto. It's done. To me, it's a sweep. It's over. It's done. We'll talk about Miami. And, we are a superior team to the Miami Heat. But Miami has this one thing, and it's called South Beach. And, to all intents and purposes, South Beach is undefeated. Now, I hope that... with our team that we had the discipline, to just kind of stay in a hotel, to get your little room service and, not hang out and not wear yourself out because many of teams that went down there.
Yeah. But that would mean that the Miami Heat win every championship and beat every team they play then.
No, I'm just saying for the teams who don't have discipline.
So you're thinking that James Harden doesn't have enough discipline?
I didn't say James Harden.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying one time we played Miami, Embiid came out, they were down there for a couple of days, Embiid came out and he played one of the worst games I've seen him play.
Yeah, Embiid doesn't even go out, so that didn't even affect him. He doesn't even go out.
Well, just as a team.
Let's look at this. Like James Harden has a reputation for going out, right? Mm-hmm. Now you think James Harden, if he's in a series of Miami, wouldn't be more disciplined not to mess himself up for a game?
I would hope not.
All right,
I would hope not. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping that because of the years' experience, and because he knows and he's been there and done that, that kind of stuff would be behind him.
Yeah, I think you're worried about nothing, really. You can't say South Beach is going to prevent the Sixers from winning that series.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not talking about the series, Mike. I'm just maybe talking about a game or two down in Miami because, it's just that you've been to South Beach before, right, Mike?
I've been there many times. I wasn't playing basketball, though, and I would have got in by 10 o'clock. And I'm thinking that they would, too, in a playoff series. Now, maybe not during the regular season, but in a playoff series, you can't be messing around. Your teammates hold you accountable when it comes to that.
And exactly, Mike, exactly. But as far as Miami being a better team, not even on one of the Sixers' worst day.
Well, they might be a better team. I don't know. I think you're shortchanging Miami. I don't know if they're a better team or not. We'll have to see how the series plays out. They're a formidable opponent, certainly more formidable than the Toronto Raptors are.
They're the one seed. Like, they're a good team. You can't just write them off saying the Sixers are clearly better.
Let me just go down a list of a couple players here. Like the ultimate team player, John Stockton. Did he win anything?
Nope.
His teammate, Karl Malone. Two great players on the same team. Did they win anything?
Nope.
You know why? It's because it's hard. It's really difficult. Did Steve Nash win an NBA title?
Nope. Not an MVP. No title.
Paul Pierce won one. He had a couple good teammates on that team, didn't he?
Big three.
Oh, it's a big three.
Hall of Famers.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying, you know? All right, let's go Dante in Philadelphia. Dante, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dante.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Dante?
I'm all good. I had a question for you. I was going to defend James Harden, but I think that's a little pointless. So my question is, if Tobias Harris keeps playing the way he's playing, do you think Philadelphia is going to keep him? Because, I mean, at one point I was ready, like, go trade him in the offseason, try to get a guy like Bradley Beal or somebody, and roll out a new starting five. So what you think?
I think that they would look to trade him. In fact, the fact that he's playing well makes it more palatable for them to trade him.
All right, so then my next question would be, like, what do you think of a start lineup of, like, James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, Bradley Beal, say maybe, like, Paul Reed or a Yang? And
I don't want the Yang in my starting lineup.
No, not at all?
No,
okay.
No. I think if they got Bradley Beal, maybe Maxey would come off the bench at that point.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Well, either way, it'd be a better team. And then you could sometimes play three of them together.
All right. Come on.
Yeah, I think that Morey is looking to do something like that in the offseason.
Okay. All right, yeah. Cause, I mean, I was just wondering, like, could Tobias play, save him, and keep him on the team? Because really, like, I'm like, he's playing great, but I still would prefer to trade him. So I was wondering, like, your thoughts on that one pretty much.
Yeah.
Kind of gave it to him to go.
Yeah, I think that could be in the works, bro.
All right, cool. Thank you.
All right, man. All right, you got it. Gary Payton, ultimate winner, right? He was in the NCAA ultimate winner. They won a title. Gary Payton won a title, did he? I don't even know. I'm just like musing here because I'm trying to look at the guys that were regarded as winners.
Right. It's just. It's tough, man. Like, the NBA, there are so many dynasties. It's not like hockey or...
Yeah, Chris Paul.
Nothing. Even last year, with what that Suns team did. Even with some good teams out there in the Clippers.
Ultimate winner, Chris Paul.
Nothing.
Win an NBA championship, does that mean he's not a winner?
One of the best point guards ever. Nothing.
All right. John and Mullica Hill. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John. What's up, John? Oh, did we lose John? Oh, we lost him. Steve in Westchester. What's up, Stevie?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Steve?
These Harden haters, I understand that he looks like he lost a little bit of a step, but to call him not a winner is, I have two examples of this where these are the same people who think that because Mark Rippon and Trent Dilfer have Super Bowl rings, they're better than Dan Marino. I've listened to people say this to me, and I want to vomit when I hear these types of things. So you got that. And then if you look at the Charles Barkley example, so when he was playing with Kevin Johnson and Dan Marley against the Bulls, the fact that Jordan won, is Jordan the only person who can be a winner in that era? I don't understand this mentality as if,
no, I don't get it either. We remember the winners, and we assume that, and we label guys the star players that were on the winning teams as the ultimate winners. But if you go down the list of guys who were great players who nobody would say wasn't a winner, And they didn't win an NBA title. Then what are you left with? You're left with a realistic thing. That was a great player, and his team just wasn't good enough to win.
I agree. And if you can even take an example today. Who knows if Durant wasn't traded to the Warriors, who really didn't need him, would he have a title today? You can even argue that. Now, maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't.
No, you're right about that. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, you're going to say that Durant isn't a winner. For God's sake. The only thing I'm going to give these people is the fact that Harden's lost a step. So what? I still, to this day, don't get this mentality ever. It's never gonna cease to amaze me.
Now Dirk Nowitzki is one of the greatest players ever, right? For a long time, he didn't win. Yeah, he finally won.
Right.
Before he won, he wasn't considered a winner. He's a great player, no matter what.
Yeah, and that guy with the South Beach thing a couple callers ago. How did the Mavericks and the Spurs win down in South Beach? I really don't.
How did the Heat win? it's available every day to them. You know, not just on road trips.
Great point. That's even better.
Yeah. All right, man. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Len in Mount Laurel. Len, you're on 97.5. What's up, Len?
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Len.
I'm a first-time caller, and I really like your show.
Thank you, buddy.
I wanted to tell you, I'm 78 years old, and I've been watching the Eagles for high 60-odd years, and I remember Norm Wildman Willie. His name wasn't Iron.
It was Wildman. Norm Wildman Willie?
Willie. He was a defensive end who in the time he played, which was right after the Eagles won the two championships in 48 and 49.
Okay.
He played in the early 50s, and I've been told by listening to the different sports talk shows that if they would have kept statistics at that time, Willie would have been the leader in sacks.
Well, there you go. I can be honest with you, I've never heard of him. I'm old, but not that old. But I'm now looking at his bio. He went to two Pro Bowls during his 8-year career and was credited with an unofficial 17 sacks in one game.
That's right.
Look at that. That's why his name was Wildman.
They never kept records at that time. Mike, I just wanted to say to you, watching the games all year, they're going to have to get better in their interior defense, the Sixers. I watched the Boston-Brooklyn game. I couldn't believe how they mauled Brooklyn. Durant couldn't even get off a shot. And if the Sixers are going to go far, they can't let the opposing team in within that 10, 12, 50.
Yeah, no, I get it, but none of those teams haven't beat either.
Well,
you know, the Celtics are playing well. I get it. They bullied Durant, and that Nets team isn't good enough to overcome it, and they get the advantage of how a game is called, but they don't have Embiid.
That's true.
You know, it changes the whole landscape when you have a great player who's a monster man.
Well, we'll see, and I think they are going to sweep, and they're going to at least win one out of two against Miami.
All right, I like it. See, so you're not making that deal with the sports god, basketball head god who comes down. Norm Willie is from Pennsville, New Jersey. Jen, you know what that is?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Pennsville Township, New Jersey. And the Norm Willie Boot Trophy is awarded annually to the winner of the Pennsville Penns Grove game.
Okay.
You're familiar with that? Those two school districts?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, there you go.
They're way deep south.
Deep South?
Yeah.
Okay, what, Vineland area down that way?
Closer to Delaware.
Oh, closer to Delaware.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that would be because he passed away in Newark, Delaware, so he must have lived in Newark
maybe
following his career.
Maybe.
Wild Man Willie.
All right. Now we know.
17 sacks in one game.
Went to Marshall. He was drafted in the 13th round. Wow. Talk about value.
Yeah, right?
Did Howie draft him back? 1950 NFL draft, 13th round. He went on. He went on to coach phys ed. Okay, teach phys ed and coach football at Pennsville Memorial High. There you go. All right. Okay. Well, listen, I apologize that I didn't know who Wildman Willie was. I thought maybe the guy made up the name.
But now we do know.
Right. And you know, you look at those old football cards of those old dudes. They're always in mid-gallop with, yes, with their arms like way out, like ready to pounce on somebody, and yet they're not wearing a helmet.
Yes.
Yeah? Is that football cards?
Oh, yeah, it's great.
610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show continues.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's time for a Twitter poll update at 3:30. Twitter poll, we get a little Sublime there. Huh?
It's nice stuff.
Santeria. Is that you? Is that your endorsement?
No, it was in here. It's a good one.
System?
Yeah. It's a good poll by the system.
I fully endorse that.
Did you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You only got no crystal ball.
Yeah.
If I had $1 million, I spent it all.
Yeah, he's dead now, right? My man.
The lead singer?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah. All right. Well,
tragically, I think.
He what?
Tragically, I think, right?
Yeah, was it tragic? Or was it drug overdose? Was that tragic?
I'm looking it up. Bradley Nowell?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, drug overdose.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, wait. You know, can we hear a little Hits from the Bong by Cypress Hill? You got that in the system?
Let's see what we got.
I heard that yesterday coming in. Anyway, that's a classic.
Should have played that 2 days ago.
Yeah, we should have, actually. All right, so the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doylestown, Jen Scordo. Jen?
All right, here's your option from the God of Basketball. The Sixers lose Game 4 against the Raptors, but they get a guaranteed split in Miami to start Round 2 against the Heat. Are you taking the deal? 36% say no, 64 say yes.
64, yeah, well, you're afraid. I'm not. I want to sweep. I want to get this team out of my sight. I want to get that city out of my sight. I want to get that. So I've been told it's that super fan that throws up that black rag or whatever, towel or whatever it is.
Oh,
the Toronto super fan.
I didn't notice it.
Well, how do you get it labeled as the super fan? Like that guy at the Sixers.
I don't know.
That super fan, he stands up, he gets involved in the...
You know, he basically walks up on the court.
Yeah, he walks in, you know, he gets to hear what the coach is saying. I mean, sit your ass down.
There was a point where he tried to, like, stop James Harden at one point, yeah, like, talk to him mid-game. He just blew him off.
Yeah, there was a story behind that. He told us there was an explanation on that. Like, he was actually given information to him about something.
Oh, was he scouting
James
somebody?
James didn't know who he was.
I gotcha.
So the information went over his head. It was something like that. All right, anyway, Fanatic Friday. It's presented by PumpManPhilly.com. If you need a water pump expert for your facility for 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement, count on Pumpman Philly. You guys know to fix your flow. It is Earth Day today, Jen.
That's good.
It is Earth Day. And I started to think about the top five things that I admire Earth about.
Okay.
And I'm an Earthman. And like I'm thinking that good. We could expand this list.
Okay.
But the first five things that popped out of my head for my admiration of Earth would be oceans.
Yes.
Two, soil for crops.
Okay.
Soil's a little high on the list there.
It's very high on the list because we need soil for crops. Yeah. We produce crops to feed America and elsewhere.
It's productive.
That's high on the list. Soil is high on the list.
When I think about it, I'm thinking about like the visually stunning things.
Well, I'm going purposeful, but also visually stunning. My number three would be sunrise and sunsets.
Okay.
See, that's beautiful.
Is on my list for why I admire Earth.
And a dual pick.
Four, the rotation that brings us seasons.
Yes.
I'd be good with just spring and summer.
And five, grass. You think about earth. Grass. You can find grass anywhere else. You got grass here. The cows can graze. You can mow it. It smells nice. Yeah. It's green. Golf courses, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Grass. That's my my top five. You got anything that's...
That's a solid top five.
That's solid. You got anything that beats it, Mr. Smartass, in there?
No, it's the second holiday of the week we're celebrating grass. I got to come up with something else, though. You know, I'm a big mountains guy.
Just
being able to wake up snow-covered mountain caps from far away.
Now that's, that could crack my top five if I thought about it.
How about, like, the Northern Lights?
Oh, that's neat.
The Northern Lights.
My mom saw those.
Did she?
Yeah, last month she was on a cruise in Norway. And they wake you on this particular cruise. The Northern Lights started shining in the middle of the night. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. The crews called every single stateroom to wake people up and say, they're here right now. If you want to get up, go.
That's awesome.
Isn't that neat?
That's very neat.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Spectacular. Yeah. One of the spectacular things about Earth.
I think that's a great one.
Yeah. Now, those aren't really like helping anybody. Like, more prudent picks are on your list, Mike. But I'm just picking with what catches the eye.
Well, if you want to go the opposite of mountains, you do canyons.
See, canyons don't really do it for me all that much.
Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon?
I have. It's a big hole in the ground.
You didn't feel like, I don't know.
Canyons are special?
I had feelings at the Grand Canyon,
Canyons are right in the same line with mountains to you?
Well, yeah, just the opposite.
I can get to the bottom of a canyon real easy.
A canyon?
Can't get to the top of a mountain.
No, you cannot.
I'm not getting out of the canyon, but I can get down there.
It's not easy to get to the bottom
like
of a canyon.
It's like an odd thing to like about
Quick
Earth,
jump.
Jen. I gotta be honest with you. Yeah, I don't know if anybody, like, why canyons? That pop into my head ever?
No, it popped in my
head. I don't know. There's one canyon, really.
No, there's more than one. Well, I mean,
there's only one Grand Canyon.
There's only one anybody knows about.
That's not true. There's Bryce Canyon out there, too.
You're just making stuff up. Canyon.
That is not true. I've been to Bryce Canyon. It's in Utah.
What the hell is Bryce Canyon?
It's a hole in the dirt over in Southertown, I think.
Is that Bryce Harper's joint over there?
I don't know. It's in Utah.
What's that? A bar? Did Bryce found this somewhere in Vegas?
It's in Utah.
Utah?
Which is where he's from, so. I've been there. I was there when I was little.
He's from Vegas, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's from Utah.
Canyons.
Bryce Canyon. National Park Service. Oh. National Parks. Well, you just say that. That's pretty neat.
How many people
would
put Canyon on their list? I'm just curious.
We're
going to expand this list. We have it to seven now, and Canyons is seven. You know, Connor got the mountains in there. Snuck that in there in six.
I'm going rainforest way before I go Canyon.
Rainforest.
It's beautiful.
That's
some
really
awesome
good.
Animals and creatures, all that foliage. Canyons are just bare.
Man.
Might have a donkey down there somewhere.
Hating me on the canyons.
Maybe a snake or two. Miss me with
snakes.
The canyons.
All right, let's go to Sly, West Philly. Sly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sly?
Mike, what's up?
What are you doing?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good.
I had two things I wanted to say. One is I would not take that deal. I want by tomorrow around 5 o'clock to be completely relaxed for a week until we get ready to play Miami.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Because I think that they can still split Miami.
Well, we have an advantage over Miami that we didn't realize at the beginning of the season. One, of course, we got Joel Embiid, and they don't have any answer for him.
Mm-hmm.
But two, they don't really have anybody that can stay in front of Tyrese Maxey. And we've seen that when we played them the last time.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry's too old. And now that Maxey can shoot the ball from deep, it's hard to stay in front of him.
It totally is. We were talking about this the other day. How do they deal with Maxey?
Right. Because remember they tried to put Tyler Hero and them guys on him when we played them the last time, and he just blew by all them guys. So that's two advantages that we have that I think we can beat them. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk, but I think we had those are distinct advantages that we didn't know we had at the beginning of the year.
No, I totally agree. It's not going to be a short series. That's going to be a toss-up.
No, it's not, but I think we could win in six, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. And another thing I want to explain to you was this Ben Simmons thing up there.
Yeah.
And I know it drives you up the wall, but you know what that's about, Mike? You know, because you've been in journalism for a long time. You know those those same people up there were the same people that were ripping us when they first got Ben Simmons. And around March 12th, they were saying how the fans and the media was all hard on him. So now it's hard for them to take that back. They can't just say, you know, Philly was right. You know how it is.
Yeah, I get that. But is it general, like, isn't there like a column? They still have major newspapers up there, right? Isn't there a columnist that can rip this guy apart?
It is, but you know how it is, Mike, when you have a newspaper and there's a sensational story and there's allegations against somebody. And then if it turns out not to be true, the retraction is small.
Yeah, but we're not talking about his mental health anymore. We're talking about his back.
Yeah.
How did he hurt his back? Or, like, what was he doing?
I don't think you not want to address that because that's going to mean that they were wrong. It's going to take to the end of the year when they really start to rip him. But right now, they still treating him with kid gloves. They
it's mind-boggling me. It really is. That this guy is perpetrating a fraud every day. It's something different. Well, you know, I said, you know, it might be, I think by game four. What, are you kidding me, dude? What are you talking about, game four? And now you're not even committing to game four. You're a coward.
And even if, like, Sly wasn't totally wrong with a thought about they don't want to be wrong, like the greater media population in New York. But there's got to be somebody willing to just be like, dude, what is going
on? That's what I mean. When do you lose your patience? This guy's been dragging you along. How many months has it been now?
Right, and what are you serving by bailing him out? You're trying to look good for who if you're a member of the New York media? Like, your job is to serve the public who's probably thinking, why is this guy not playing? And rightfully so. You got to ask these questions. It's part of the requirement of your job.
And maybe people don't care about the Nets as much. If it was the Knicks, that would be a constant harangue up there.
Yeah, you know, that plays into it.
Let's go to Richie in New Jersey. Richie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Richie.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Rich?
I have two questions. The one was about the scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that the Sixers tomorrow, if they would win at 2 o'clock, they sweep their series before Boston and the Nets even play their third game because they don't play till 7:30 at night? How does that happen? Does that mean the Sixers will have more than 7 days off before these next series start?
Maybe. Maybe means that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't really. I really haven't thought about the scheduling that much. But if it has to benefit the Sixers, doesn't it?
Yeah. I would believe. Yeah. Give them time off. But I mean, it also could help them get a little rusty too.
I don't know. I think at this stage of the game, it's better to have rest at this stage of the season than right. It is to, you know, to risk the rustiness. Because listen, the Miami Heat are going to have a short series also. So right. They're going to have to deal with the same rust.
Uh-huh. Okay, I wanted to ask you that, but I heard you talking to the last caller about Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm Kevin Durant and you're Irvin, how do we sit there and say, if we go down 3-0 and Ben Simmons wants to play game four, I would tell him, we don't need you in game four. You know what I mean?
Well, there's no reason. What do they gain by that? They don't gain anything.
Well, because I don't understand
that would just be for.
But he doesn't want.
Well,
to
I mean, you can't. You can't be spiteful as an NBA player. If the guy can help you in game four, you take all the help you can get.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I just want.
You look at it like a fan. Like, screw you. Well, right. As a team, that's you can't. I mean. Yeah, you can't do that at that point.
Right. But thank you very much.
All right, man. You got it, buddy. All right, take a break. It's a quick break. 610-622-0975 is how you get in. Back in a flash on the Mike Mussinelli Show.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
There it is.
There we go. Cypress Hill. Nice.
Got it for you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Well, it is 3:45 on the Mike Mussinelli Show. And you know what that means. It's time for What's Brewing with Jen. This is where Jen Scordo finds three entertaining stories for us to bat around. It is brought to us by Dunkin'. It is always game on with Dunkin'. Awards members, you can pick your day to score a free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Jen, what do we have today?
Today, we're starting in Illinois. I'm assuming that this is a suburb of Chicago. I'm not quite sure. Mount Prospect, Illinois? We'll say it's a suburb of Chicago.
Okay.
Police are looking for a prankster who's been throwing slices of cheese on windshields. This is in parked cars, evidently in a mall parking lot. Fellas just going around and throwing slices of cheese on windshields.
Actually, not a bad idea for somebody that really ticks you off. You keep some, like, sliced American cheese handy, and you just kind of flip it, and by then, you know, it's room temperature.
Ew.
So it'll, like, stick to your window.
Ew.
It's actually not bad. I usually was, you know, I was going to give the sanction to the throwing eggs at people that do stuff like that, but I kind of like the cheese.
Eggs can actually ruin your paint of your car.
That's the point.
Well, that's terrible.
It's the point.
At least you're trying to get somebody.
I want to ruin their damn paint.
Mike.
With an egg. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
like
my.
Some of the people out there on the road, I don't care about their paint.
We got it.
So what, you just have the 12-pack in the passenger side, just whipping them out the window?
Yeah.
And you hate it.
You know, like that flip. I'm good at the double play flip. So I like it, you know.
Yeah, just roll it. A little
flick out the side window. Bang.
You should.
Flat.
Oh. Not flipping the bird, flipping an egg.
I'm a big fan of throwing eggs.
And you hate eggs.
Yeah, I do. That's why I throw them.
Oh, goodness gracious.
All right, it's 20 miles northwest of downtown Chicago.
Okay, so there you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it is a suburb of Chicago. So if you're headed that way and you go to this particular mall.
Cheese is a nice idea. You can kind of frisbee it and flip it out there.
Do you remember? I'm going to try to be delicate with this. This was several years ago, maybe 10 years ago in the Northeast. A guy that was driving around on the boulevard, but he didn't have any pants on. He just had a slice of cheese. Do you remember that?
I don't remember the cheese.
You don't remember that?
I remember the cheese, man.
It happened. It happened.
He covered himself with a piece of
cheese?
Yes. That's embarrassing.
And he...
One piece of cheese?
And he drove like a
low car. I think it was one of those string cheese.
No, it was not. It was like a slice of American cheese. He would drive like a low car. So if you had like a big pickup truck or something, you sat higher and you looked over and you're sitting in traffic on the boulevard.
He had to be an Irish guy.
Oh, Mike.
That's uncalled for.
That is so uncalled for.
I'm sorry.
That was probably 10 years ago.
A slice of cheese.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, I got it.
So this is terrible. I saw the pictures of this poor girl, but it's her own fault. She's 21 years old. She got lip fillers. And the doctor said, okay, you now have these lip fillers in your face. Do not drink alcohol for however many days because the alcohol will affect, you know, the whatever chemical we just put in your lips.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't listen, being 21 and dumb and young. She went and drank and got herself all smashed up. And now her face is all smashed up. Her entire face blew up. Like, her whole face swelled up, but the lips... I mean, picture a cartoon character. That's how big her lips got.
Will they subside?
Yes, they have already subsided.
Okay.
But she posted a video on TikTok, of course, warning other people, listen to your doctors if you go get lip fillers. Do not drink the alcohol that they tell you not to drink when you leave your apartment.
Have you ever thought about the lip filler?
No.
No?
No. No. It would that would literally be the last thing on earth I would ever do.
Really?
Is a lip filler. I mean, I do some Botox now. I get rid of the wrinkles, but I would never do any kind of filler.
No filler, huh?
No. Mm-mm.
So what do? They get like fat from somewhere else in your body and inject that in? Is that what that lip filler is?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I thought it was just the collagen that they normally
put
in.
They put collagen?
I think so. I don't know.
I have no idea.
This is very outside the realm of my expertise here.
Oh, yeah, well, you're young.
Wait till you get to be our age, Connor. I do have lip gloss that has, like,
It's supposed to tingle.
Stuff on it.
All right, so let me ask you a question about that. Lip gloss that tingles, it's activating. It starts to swell your lips.
Yeah.
Does it do that?
Not for me. It doesn't. But it does affect my girlfriend. had an allergic reaction.
Are you swelling your lips up on purpose with lip gloss?
To make them more voluptuous.
It's like tingly. Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't work very well for me. But I had a girlfriend that used some of the lip gloss, and she had an allergic reaction to it. And lips swelled like this.
So what's
poor
in
girl.
It? Like hot pepper?
I don't know. I think it's some kind of equivalent. I'm not joking.
Yeah, it's like whatever.
Like cayenne or something?
Yes.
Capsaicin. Yeah. Capsaicin, yeah.
It is something like that. Some kind of ingredient that... I don't know. It doesn't really work for me.
All right.
Anyway, okay, this is this is horrible, and I kind of think maybe this was made up, but maybe it's not. A nurse found out that her husband was cheating on her after she delivered his mistress's baby.
Oh.
So she was working at a hospital. Woman gave birth. Woman came in labor, gave birth to a baby boy very shortly after arriving at the hospital. So the husband or the father of the child wasn't there yet. So like she came in labor and had the baby quick. So the father of the child wasn't there yet. A little while later, the father showed up.
And it was the nurse's husband?
It was
husband,
the nurse's
and
husband.
She, and I'm like... He didn't know that she might be there?
I don't know. That's why it's a little suspect to me. It's a little sus.
What a cad.
Yeah, but how little do you know, like, about your wife's schedule that you
right,
don't know?
Exactly.
That's the ultimate cad, that guy.
Maybe because it says she was a travel nurse, so maybe she's not at the same hospital every time. She just happened to be
surprise,
at that hospital.
Surprise, surprise.
Right, can you imagine?
What did she do?
It doesn't say. I mean, she may have killed him. I don't know.
That's a bad day of work.
Has forceps and done something.
Right. Yeah. Isn't that awful?
Yeah. That's revolting.
It's a little suspect
that's
to
terrible
me,
for a man.
Story,
that gets man a bad rap in general. You know, already have a bad rap. Guys like that walking around.
Baby's healthy. That's good.
That's excellent.
That's a positive.
Oh,
right?
Thank you. All right. So that's what's brewing with Jen for today. Always game on with Duncan Rewards members. Pick your day to score free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Let's take a break. We'll come back and Brian Westbrook will join us for an hour. And I'm sure he's got something to say about the Jay Wright retirement.
Oh, yeah.
New era at Villanova. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is 4 o'clock on a Friday. It's a special hour, always on a Friday. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landisbach, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. But 4 o'clock on a Friday also brings us to great number 36. Brian Westbrook hanging out with us for an hour. Hello, B. West. Where is he? Oh, there he is. There he is. Hello, B. West. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Mike. Miss, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. And so many things to talk to you about today. So let's roll right into it and talk about the Sixers, because it's the first topic that we're all talking about. 3-0, you saw how they won that game 3. Your reaction on how this series is going, my friend?
Well, listen, Mike, I told you last week I had the Sixers winning in 5, but they've been more dominant throughout this series than I actually expected. And for me, what I've seen as the difference is the other guys that I wasn't expecting to have, you know, just really good games. Tyrese Maxey, a guy that I thought he would have a good game here and there. My expectation wasn't that we would lean on him as much as we have. You know, he's been impressive. I think Tobias has done a great job defensively. And James has kind of just done just enough to figure out a way to win. And of course, Joel Embiid has been dominant. And so to me, I've been really impressed with the way this team has come together, especially in this first round so far.
All right, let's take you back to game 3. Very exciting. And, you know, in the regulation, they didn't get the greatest shot off. And then here comes the final shot in overtime where the coach had to rescue him with a timeout. And designs that kind of shot. Now, there are a lot of haters, not a national media, saying, oh, you designed a 3-point shot from your 7-2 center. What are your thoughts on the reaction to that? And first of all, the shot.
Well, man, I wasn't a fan. To me, I wasn't a fan of that shot until it goes in. I mean, your first.
Sound like Jalen Rose all of a sudden here now. That's what Jalen Rose said.
What, is that what he said? Well, yeah, I wasn't a fan of it until it went in, because naturally it's not natural for your center to take those types of shots. But when you have a Joel Embiid an MVP, one of the most skilled big men that we've seen in the history of the NBA, then that's a little bit different. You start to change your thoughts. And so, to me, you don't necessarily try to get the ball to Harden because he's not a guaranteed shot maker at this point. You get
yeah, but he was out of the game.
Yeah, of course. He wasn't even in the game. Right, yeah. So you don't get the ball to him. You get the ball to your best player. And you allow him to make a decision, and it was a right one. He makes a shot. To me, that's the biggest part, that you get the ball to your best player. Doc Rivers was able to scheme that up and draw it up, and Joel Embiid knocked down the shot.
So I'm confused here. Are you endorsing the shot or not?
Yeah, of course I'm endorsing the shot.
Because it didn't sound like you were endorsing it.
Well, no. In hindsight, of course, I'm endorsing the shot. That wasn't my first idea. But
hey, well, interesting. What would have been your first idea?
My first idea normally is get the ball to one of your guards and allow them to find a way to get the ball into the basket. That's my first idea. And that's a traditional way to think about basketball, probably the same way that all the pundits that around the world, around the NBA, have talked. You try to get the ball to one of your guards and allow them to score the ball. Again, our MVP is our center. He has the ability to make those types of shots, and he has confidence in him. The team has confidence in him to make those shots. I was impressed that he was able to make it. It was a great shot. It was a great shot.
All right. With all due respect to you and to people who have had the same opinion, getting it to a guard is a foolish thought. Can I tell you why?
Sure.
All right. So there's 0.9 seconds left. You can get the ball to a guard. What's he going to do? At that point, who on that team does anything with that final shot if it isn't a guy who can come off a screen because his defender is going to stay low. He's not going to chase out there. So you pick him out with a beautiful screen. And is he not your most reliable three-point shooter at that point?
He probably is, yeah.
That's but the only shot you're going to get off is a three-pointer.
Mike. Traditional thought.
But traditional is foolish thought. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Mike, we always, everybody goes through traditional thought process. Everybody.
No, but idiots do. Idiots go through traditional foolish thoughts.
Everybody thinks traditionally what? Until you see a shot like
okay,
that.
Okay, well, let me tell you, let me tell you why Jalen Rose is an idiot. All right? Because Jalen Rose is going with traditional thought. When traditional thought at 0.9 seconds, what's traditional thought? If you inbound it to a guard, he's got to put it on the floor. And you don't have time. At that point, the only shot you get is a catch and fire. And B coming off his screen is the guy going to be able, it was a brilliant design.
Mike, this is where you're wrong. if you have Steph Curry, Clay, one of these elite shooters on your team, then you get the ball to a guard in that situation.
Well, but they don't have that. That's what my point. It exemplifies my point.
They got the ball to their best player. That's the beauty of it. They got the ball to their best player, who happens to be a really good 3-point shooter and the best and most skilled big man in the game.
Okay, well, that's traditional thought, to get into Embiid.
Well,
when it pertains to the Sixers, that's traditional thought.
Well, here's the traditional part of it. Usually that guy is not your center. That's the traditional part. The untraditional part now is that Embiid, especially in that situation, especially with Harden out of the game, he's that guy and he happens to be your center. That's the conventional part. Conventionally speaking, your best person to touch the ball in that situation is a guard. There's no doubt about that. Everybody knows that. The only person that apparently does not know that, Mike, is
me. It's not because they don't have a guard of that ilk on the floor. So the thought evaporates like smoke. The traditional thought doesn't apply.
Well, don't you give Doc Rivers some credit for that?
I just said it was a brilliant design.
I give Doc Rivers some credit for that. Understanding who the best team is, and to him, he got the best shot available. I'm happy about
you're
that.
You're pretzeling my brain here. You're making my brain a pretzel.
I think you have something wrong with your brain today. I think you know what it is. I know exactly what it is. You had a long, hard week. When Westbrook gets on the phone,
here's
side of this argument he gets on, I'm going to disagree with.
No. Here's what triggered it. Okay, a brilliant design turns into a brilliant shot. It was the only choice they had, and it was a brilliant design. I wake up in the morning, and I hear Jalen Rose speaking like an idiot, saying, well, yeah, it was a great shot because it went in. No, it was a great shot because it was designed to be a great shot, and Jalen Rose should know better. I get Brian Westbrook on the air. He parrots Jalen Rose. That's why I'm going nuts here.
Well, I think Jalen Rose is a smart man. And I, because I didn't hear what he said, now it all makes sense. Because us basketball players, we just know things better than what you know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what it is when it comes to Jalen Rose. Because Jalen Rose has been picking at the Sixers his whole media life for reasons that are unclear to me. So instead of sitting there giving him credit and saying, what a brilliant design, no one on earth would expect them to spring Embiid for that shot. And the fact of the matter is, he does make clutch threes. He didn't say that because he's got this anti-Philadelphia thing going.
No. Hold, let's back up. Listen, I love Joel Embiid just like everyone else in Philadelphia. What do you mean he makes clutch three? What do you mean?
He does. Look at his track record of making threes is amazing in clutch periods.
In what clutch situations has he made threes?
I just read a stat. And I wish I could pull it up just to make you like The statistics of him making 3-point shots in clutch situations are very high.
Well, if that's the case, I don't have that stat. If that's the case, then again, more credit to Doc, more credit to the play design, more credit to the passer, more credit to the entire team, and of course, Embiid for making a shot. Traditional wisdom dictates in this situation, get the ball to a shooter, normally a guard, and allow them to score. This team is totally different. And I'll tell you this also, Mike. If James Harden is in the game, if he didn't foul out, then James Harden is taking that shot.
Maybe he would have, but he was. See, Brian, this is what I'm trying to tell you. With what they had on the floor, that was absolutely the best design. Because you're not going to design it for Tobias. You're not going to design it for Maxi. There's not enough time for Maxi to put the ball on the floor and find space. Who else are you going to design it for at that point? Harden's out of the game.
Let me ask you this, Mike. When you hear me say, I agree with you, what goes through your mind?
Well, I haven't heard you say that yet.
Well, because I've said it in a different way without saying those words, because I know you have.
I
agree with you. It was
I would like to hear you say, Mike, not only do I agree with you, but you're the best basketball analyst I've ever.
There's two things I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say that I agree with you now, and I'm never going to say that other part.
You're not? I can't even get that today.
I was going to say that before, but now you ruined it.
Yeah, you're the last thing you were going to say. Stop it. All right. Let's talk about dear old VU. Mm. And a shocking development comes down the pike. As the Sixers are going in, playing the game here comes news that Jay Wright is going to retire. Now, did you have any wind of this at all?
I had no wind of it. They did a great job of keeping a secret. Next week, I'm riding on a plane with Jay Wright to Texas for a business meeting. I mean, unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. I was shocked. I think because of Jay Wright's appearance, I mean, he doesn't look his age at all, in my opinion. It feels like he hasn't been at Villanova for 21 years. He's been there for a long time. Of course, I was in school when he first got hired there. Obviously a great coach, Hall of Fame type of coach. It's scary because he had done so much with the program. Being able to compete with a small school like Villanova against the likes of Kansas and Kentucky and North Carolina and win, especially those couple of national championships, is super impressive. I was actually more impressed with Jay Wright this year than ever because I believe he just outcoached everybody to make it to the Final Four. And the team wasn't a great team, certainly was not on the level of 2016-2018 team. But I think he just out-schemed guys, he out-coached guys, and he had his players more prepared than ever. And it's sad to see him go. I have a crazy theory if you want to hear it, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
My theory is, Jay Wright, you're sitting at the top of the world 2016-2018, and it just keeps getting harder and harder and harder to recruit guys at Villanova. And there's a part of me that thinks, in a way, and again, this is totally my conspiracy theory, that he realizes, okay, I'm at the top of the thing right now. Maybe this is a time to exit, and I can still figure out what I can do, other things. I'm not saying that he's going to coach somewhere else, but maybe there's other ways that he can help Villanova or other institutions where he's at right now. Because I think it's just harder and harder every single year to keep the basketball program, you know, at the top the way that it has. I mean, listen, he's just done a great job. I think it's harder and harder to do that.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're right on the button. I think the situation, the landscape being changed now with the transfer portal and losing guys and the guys not getting playing time, and there's always that threat that they're going to leave you, and he's a three-year guy. He wants guys at least for 3 years most of the time. Yeah. And then the NIL situation, and, you know, with the schools that can offer somebody $10 million in NIL, and I think he ran up against that. But let me ask you, as an alum and a very important Villanova person, what kind of a void does this create? Because frankly, with Jay right there, here come applications, here come donations. It's why they were able to build that beautiful structure across the street there on the other side of Lancaster Avenue. What kind of void now? What happens to Villanova?
Well, in the same way that when you lose, you know, Roy Williams down in Kentucky, I mean, at Carolina, I mean, it's a huge void. I think Kyle, who I've known for a very long time, I think he'll, you know, of course he'll try to fill that void as best you can. But when you have a guy at your program for 21 years, the donors believe in him, obviously because of the national championship, the school, the kids, around the program believe in him, the kids around the country that, hey, they are not those one and done type of kids, believe that they can go to a school and they can develop as a player and get better for 2 or 3 years and then have a chance to hop to the league. That hurts you there. I think at this point now you have to build faith in your program again, even though, again, Kyle was he was an assistant there for a while. Obviously went up to Fordham and did his thing there. But when you lose a caliber of a coach like Jay Wright, I mean, how do you feel that? Fulfill that and fill that void as quickly as someone like Hubert Davis did down there in Carolina? I mean, it's almost impossible to do. But you got to remember, those guys are going to Carolina because Carolina has this big mystique. I think a lot of guys are coming to Villanova because of Jay Wright. We have to find a way to get the guys back into Villanova because Jay is gone at this point. And I think it's going to be difficult to do that.
Listen, he could probably do anything he wants. He's probably going to be offered several million to be a TV analyst, studio analyst, or whatever. He's going to get one of those jobs if he wants it. And he's a special assistant to the president of Villanova. But let me ask you this down the line. He does that for a couple of years. There's always an itch to get back into coaching. Now, Jay, I don't think would ever take another college job because he wouldn't betray Villanova like that. But could this in a couple of years be the precursor for him taking a shot at the NBA?
I think that itch, that offer has been there for Jay for some years now. I mean, even before he won the national championship, I think that offer has been there for years for Jay. And he's always said no. He's always loved the Villanova area, being around the kids. He's always loved that. It makes me feel at this point that that's not in the cards for Jay. I have no inside knowledge. I just feel that Jay doesn't want that. And if he wanted that, he had an opportunity for the Boston job a couple years ago. I mean, he's had opportunities for the Knicks job a couple years ago. He's had opportunities for some of the best jobs in the NBA. And he's always turned it down to go back to Villanova. And it, to me, it just doesn't fit exactly the way that I think what Jay wants to do. It doesn't necessarily make sense to me that he'll go to an NBA job. But I'll tell you this, I am riding with that plane with him next week. I'm going to pepper him with all the questions that I possibly can.
Yeah, well, he's going to say no now. He's going to say no now. What I'm saying is, like, a couple years out of the industry, would it move him to actually take a shot at it? And you're probably right, it wouldn't, but you know, when you're without the game and you're doing TV, and it comes a point in time where you go, you know, I don't feel worthy doing this. I feel more worthy as a coach. And the only outlet at that point is the NBA.
Well, you know, listen, I've seen guys retire and come back to coach. We've seen it, you know, across the board a bunch of times. I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. But to me, that's not Jay's where he wants to go. I believe that TV, and I do believe in that role, that special assistant to the president, That's a huge role for him. That takes him, you know, out of the limelight as far as basketball. But as far as alumni, you're not going to get any bigger figure in the Villanova community than Jay Wright.
Well, let me take it further. Because the headmaster is, what's his name? Father Peter is the president of the university. I believe he's got 2 years left on a contract. Now, Jay Wright is not an academic, but you can surround yourself with academics. What better representative as the president of the university would there be than Jay Wright?
I don't think you can find a better representative of the university than Jay Wright. I probably could make an argument as an alumni. You probably want an Augustinian president or one of the priests there.
Yeah.
I think it's been like that for a very long time. I probably can make that argument as well. But again, Jay Wright has the stature to be able to do anything he wants at Villanova, and he's earned that because he's built a program that obviously went on to win a couple of national championships. But even bigger than what he's done on the court, he's wrung millions and millions of dollars into that university, and he's brought the prestige of the basketball program back. And I think that's part of the legacy of Jay Wright. So if anyone can do it coming from a basketball side of things, I mean, become the president of Villanova, it would be Jay Wright.
All right, one last topic I want to address with you as we go into the break. It will take some phone calls. A lot of people want to talk. It came up today, the concept of what defines a winner, whether James Harden is a winner. And I think it's a ridiculous thing that people say, well, he's not a winner because there has been one game where he didn't have his best game in the playoffs. I look at his record. He has won 75 playoff games in his career. There are a ton of guys that are top 50 players in the NBA that have not won a championship. What in your mind defines the label of whether you're a winner or not?
I would describe, you know, I'll just use James Harden in this example. I would describe James Harden as a great player. I would describe Kobe as a winner. I would describe Michael Jordan as a winner. Someone that we see consistently winning the biggest goal, which is the championship. If you say that James Harden is not a winner, obviously the opposite side of that is that he's a loser. He's not that. We all understand that. He hasn't won consistently enough or at all the ultimate goal, the ultimate prize, which is the championship. And when you compare him to the people that I consider winners, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron on certain levels, he would fall short of that label. But, I mean, you're talking about great player. Obviously, he's a great player.
Boy, I tell you, this is a day where I don't think I've ever butted heads more with you.
Good.
Yeah, we're up against a break, so I don't want to bet. But let me just suggest this to you. Doesn't being a winner also depend on who you have around you? Like Kobe Bryant, he had a great team. Michael Jordan didn't win for 6 years in this league until they put players around him.
Absolutely.
Magic Johnson won, great player, but look who he had around him. So, I don't get this. You're not a winner. It's hard to win.
Very hard, yeah. And
Charles Barkley didn't win a championship. Is he a winner?
He is a really great player. He is not to the level of a winner.
Oh, no, my God. Dude.
You can't be a winner if you haven't won the ultimate prize. You just can't be. You can be a great player. You can be one of the top 50 players ever that play in the game. Absolutely. But if you haven't won the biggest prize in that area, that sport, whatever the competition is, you can't call yourself a winner.
Wow. Tell you what, Brian, next time we're together, we're putting a bottle of bourbon in front of us, and we're going to pour neat, and we're going to just drink it and to discuss this. And if it takes me till 3 a.m., this discussion will go on. We'll start at 7 p.m. It's got to go to 3 a.m.
That's right. Hey, listen, if you're a winner, then you've won the biggest prize. There's no doubt about that. No, James Harden has not done that yet. If him and Embiid and the rest of his team, Maxey and Harris, can go out there and win this year, then he would be a winner. Absolutely.
So Michael Jordan losing all those years to the bad boys before he cracked through. He wasn't a winner then, was he?
No, he wasn't.
As soon as he got players around him, he magically transformed into a winner.
He didn't. He had all the tools to be a winner. He hadn't won yet.
Because James he Harden needed players around him.
Well, James Harden has players around
him. Well, he did. Did he have as many players as the Golden State Warriors?
No, he didn't. No.
See, this is what I mean. Now we're in our third bourbon, and we're continuing. All right, man. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back for phone calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 4:30. That means it's time for a Twitter poll update with Jen Scordo. It's brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com. Great folks at Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. All right, Jen, what do the numbers say?
Here's your option from the gods of basketball. The Sixers lose game four against the Raptors, but they get a guaranteed split in Miami to start round two against the Heat. Are you taking the deal? 64% still say yes, which means 36% agree with you.
Okay. All right. So, Brian, I posed this question earlier in the show. If the god of basketball came down, mm-hmm. and he's got like a big basketball pumpkin head, and he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. If you lose game four to the Raptors and extend the series, you guarantee that you'll split in Miami. Would you take that deal?
Yeah, I would, because correct. The Sixers, even if they lose game four, they will beat the Raptors. There's no doubt in my mind. Okay. Yes, I'll take that deal. They will need to split in Miami. So absolutely, I'll take that deal.
Okay, see, I'm not taking the deal.
Brian's a smart man.
Yeah, Connor and Jen are taking the deal as well, because I don't want a game five, because you never know what can happen in game five. Somebody can get banged up or whatever. I'm going to take the game four sweep, and then I'm going to hope my team's good enough to get the split anyway.
No, the reason why you take the split in Miami is because they're a tougher home team. No, of course you take the split in Miami. Are you crazy?
Well, I'm saying, listen.
Raptors, we know that.
I want the best of both worlds. See, I'm greedy. I want the sweep because I want to protect my players and rest them. And I also think I can get the split anyway.
Well, see, Mike, here's the thing. In this scenario, you can't have the best of both worlds. You have to pick one or the other. You have to say...
Well, that's why I'm picking the no.
Well, yeah, then you're wrong.
Because I'm risking, because I'm a gambler that way, I'm risking that they lose two in Miami.
Well, see, that's...
But see, I have more belief than you in my squad.
Well, I what I don't want is a team to win two in a row at home and get some momentum.
You're guarding against that contingency. What you're saying is, at least I guarantee one game in Miami, and I know I'm going to beat the Raptors anyway. So what you're saying is very prudent
and logical, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
what you're saying is the opposite of that, is illogical.
Well,
like this other sports conversation that you have going on. That's just illogical. Because I was looking up these guys in the break. You like Russell. How about Patrick Ewing? Good player, right? Great player.
Yeah.
Top 50 player.
Uh-huh.
Is he a winner? Of course not. Because when you compare him to Shaq, then Shaq's the definition of a winner. Because Shaq has won some championships. Patrick Ewing obviously hasn't. Carl Malone.
Where did Shaq win a championship by himself? Did I miss something?
Well, listen.
Kevin Durant or Kevin Garnett. Is he a winner?
Yeah.
Oh, was he a winner when he was slopping around in Minnesota for all those years until he joined the Big Three?
Absolutely. When he joined the Big Three and they won a championship, he became a winner.
Oh, he became a winner because why?
Because he won the championship.
Wait, so then is J.R. Smith more of a winner than James Harden?
No. They're not on the same level as a player either. J.R. Smith is not a great player. J.R. Smith is just a good player.
Multiple championships.
James Harden is a great player.
You know, I've been trying to hook up this golf match with me, you, and Charles Barkley. Yeah, if I tell Charles, hey, you know, B-West says this, I'm not sure he's going to the first tee with you.
I don't think that if we had to ask Charles a lot of these questions that we'll agree, because again, I think in logic, my education is based in logic because I'm a Villanova man. Now, other people, Auburn and Penn State, you don't have to be logical to get through those schools.
Yeah. Here would be my move if I ever do make this happen. Like I'm walking to tee, you guys have teed off. I'm putting my peg in, and I go, you know, I'm taking my practice when I go, by the way, Charles, ask him what his definition of a winner is, because it doesn't include you. Excuse me. Look, let me hit, and then we'll discuss.
Here's the bad question. Do you think that Charles would consider himself a winner?
I think Charles is humble enough to agree with you, maybe. But like, it would be depleting Charles as a player to say he's not a winner.
No. I'm saying, Charles, you are a great. And I think if it was me, you, Charles, and Connor playing, he would say that he's a winner. I think if it was me, you, Charles, and Michael Jordan playing, he would say, you know what, I'm just a great. Michael is a winner. That's the difference.
Well, Charles is humble like that, but there would be other guys like Karl Malone and John Stockton. Would they call themselves non-winners?
Well, I would use the same comparison. If it's me, you, John Stockton, and Karl Malone playing, they would say absolutely we're winners. Now we bring Michael Jordan.
Neither of them would say that. In fact, they'd look at you cross-eyed if you doubted their ability to win.
I would say, okay, well, what happened in when you guys played the ball?
And see, you would mess up the whole the whole round because you're stubborn.
It would be a terrible round. It would be absolutely terrible. It would be the worst round ever. No doubt about that.
All right, let's go to the phones. Kareem in Philadelphia. Kareem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kareem?
What's going on? I am so glad Brian's on the radio right now, because he's talking with so much logic and sense. You can't beat anything if you don't accomplish the goal. Winning is the accomplishing of winning goals. You can't have a title without doing anything. Mike.
Yeah, but you don't accomplish the goal by yourself. This only applies like in tennis. In tennis it would apply. In golf it would apply. It doesn't apply in basketball.
Mike, if you were the smart guy and you went to college and you failed, you wouldn't be a graduate. So therefore you can't be anything without doing the actual task at hand.
That's completely different.
No.
Yes, it is. It's not even close to the same analogy.
Hold on, Mike. Mike, you saying this because James didn't do these things here in Philadelphia. He is the equivalent of Clayton Kershaw prior to him winning. He would have drove you nuts. Him losing games, he had 10 turnovers, having bad volume shooting nights, and then going to the strip club. He didn't behave like a winner. He didn't want to win. He was happy with the lifestyle of basketball a lot of times, and his talent let him do things that other people couldn't do because he's gifted. But he never applied himself to be a winner, so he didn't accomplish winning things. So therefore, you only speak that way because he knew in town.
Here's where I'm going to throw logic back at you. Was his team better than the Golden State Warriors or the Spurs?
They were up good. They were up.
Were they better? I'm asking a simple question. Was Michael Jordan's teams before they got players, were they as good as the Bad Boys?
You can't say that, Mike, because Houston was up and he played bad. It wasn't like...
Okay, he played bad in maybe one game.
No,
I get it.
The biggest game, Mike, the biggest game.
Okay, so when they lost, Chris Paul wasn't there, right? So that didn't help? That hurt?
Life, Mike, you can't, if it was a fifth, it happened. It's your job to make it happen.
Yeah, nobody makes it happen by themselves. Nobody does.
So therefore, you're not a winner.
Okay. All right, not a winner. So Kobe had Shaq. Kobe had Shaq, and that's why he won.
Hey, he got it done.
All right. Is that it?
Well, Kobe had Shaq. Kobe had Penny. Kobe had Dwayne Wade. Everywhere he went, it seems like winning followed.
Yeah, if winning follows when you have three players that won't lose. That's what winning follows. You know, apparently Karl Malone, John Stockton, two wasn't enough, even though they were great players.
Well, because there also wasn't winners.
They were winners. John Stockton, Karl Malone weren't winners.
In clutch situations, they find a way to win.
The other team was just better, Brian. Like in football, you see it all the time. The other team is just better. Right? The New England Patriots, are they better? When you lost to them?
Does
that mean you guys weren't winners?
Yes, that's right. We were not winners. That's right, yeah.
Wow. Absolutely. So you we were a very good team.
So, but five was a winner, even though he didn't win in four NFC title games.
Do you think that five was a winner?
I think five was a winner, yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I think he's the best quarterback in Eagle history. He has to be a winner.
There's no doubt about that. He's the best quarterback in Eagle history. That does not mean that he's a winner.
Wow.
He is a great, the best. There's no doubt about that.
Not a winner, though.
Not mean he's a winner.
Oh. All right.
You got to win it to be a winner.
That's good. Cool.
I'm embarrassed.
Cool in South Cool in South Philly. What's up, Cool?
Hey, what's up, man? What's up, Jim? What's up, Mike?
How you doing, Cool?
Happy Friday. I want to say this, first of all, I'm ecstatic because I had the Sixers winning in five, and we're going to take it in four. Secondly, I want to give a big kudos to Toby, man. Toby's the X factor, man.
Yeah, he's playing great defense.
All right, and Mike, I want to say this, man. You ran me off the air maybe like two times when I said this, and it's crazy. I'm going to say this to you. Danny Green, I would take him to a bar fight, and I'm letting you listen. Danny Green has a champion's mentality, and it's just a fact. He's a champion, and he spaces the floor better. I know Matisse is younger, but he still averaged 5 points. You know, the same 20 minutes that we got from Matisse was the all-defensive player off the bench last year, and he could still be all-defensive off the bench. Him starting, to me, never changed nothing. Danny Green, to me, keeping the defense honest, changes the dynamic, because Danny Green also didn't benefit by playing with Ben Simmons. Danny Green also, everybody knew he was going to shoot. Now James Harden is out there. The spacing is wide. They're wide open threes. Mm-hmm. No rushing, just simply wide open threes.
Listen, man, the only thing I will say about Danny Green as it pertained to Thibault is that now you're going to have to squeeze a lot more minutes out of his 34-year-old body. That's what I didn't like about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I take him to a bar fight because everywhere he went, he won. College, NBA. Popovich, Toronto, no matter where you say, Lakers, he won a championship.
Yeah, he might be getting a little carried away with Danny. Praise of Danny. Man. But yeah, I get you. You get a little carried away, but I get you.
It's not just a coincidence no more. Four different titles, though? Four?
Very fortunate man to play with great players.
He's a winner.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Very fortunate man to play with great players, Danny Green.
Three quarters.
He's one of those fortunate guys. He has a four-leaf clover coming out of his buttocks.
He's definitely fortunate. I want him to be fortunate with me in the bar fight. That's all I'm saying.
Bar fight?
The next thing...
He ain't fighting nobody. All right, go ahead.
Ring culture. Oh, back to the Embiid shot. That was the perfect shot for Embiid. Because, honestly, all the other draw-up Embiid plays we had is Embiid dribbling the ball and sometimes losing it, or he'll dribble too much and never get the shot off that he wants. That 0.9 seconds or 1.9 seconds, and then just grab it and turn around with the perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's what I thought, but some people don't think so.
I know. I heard, which is crazy, because honestly, he's one of the best. He's one of the greatest. Honestly, he's one of the greatest. I've never seen a player like him in my life.
Uh-huh.
We've been watching basketball for, I don't know how, I'm your biggest fan. I'm only 35 years old, 34 years old.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen a center like him. I watch Shaq. We watch Hakeem. This dude is doing things we've never seen done.
I got you, man. I totally agree with you. That's why it was the perfect design. That's why you spring the center off of a three-point shot, not the guard.
Well, I'll tell you what you would be saying if that didn't go in, Mike. Why are you
asking? No. I wouldn't say that because it was an open look, well-designed. They had an open look.
Of course.
I wouldn't have wanted anybody else to take that shot. I got to be honest with you. Anybody on the floor at that point, I wouldn't have wanted anybody else to take it.
Yeah.
Not even Maxey. Not even Max.
Sounds good after you make it. It's easy to say that after you make the shot.
Let's take a break, and we'll be back with the obstinate Brian Westbrook right after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
447, Mike Mastella Show, 97.5 The Fan. Brian Westbrook is with us till 5. Let me ask you this, Brian, because you know, I look at you as the ultimate winner. You know, your style, you know, no, seriously, your style exuded winning. You gave it all you had. You did the right things to prepare, all that kind of thing. And you, are you saying that you're not a winner?
I'm saying when you compare my winning ability to some other running back, Walter Payton, then no, Walter Payton would be a winner. He has a Super Bowl championship underneath his belt.
You're a guy who won in high school. You won in college. You played your absolute finest, like hell bent to win style in the NFL. And because maybe a team was better than you guys on a particular day, that should not shortchange you as a winner.
Yeah, that makes me a really good player. Some would say great. Some would say really good. I'll just say good. A winner? No, because I did not win the championship game. I didn't win.
You're taking that too literal. That word winner is too literal for you.
There's only one way to judge winner is did you win it? And let me ask you this, Mike. Can you be a liar without telling a lie? Of course not. Because you'll just be a truth teller. You have to be a winner. Right. You have to win the ultimate child.
Yeah, but see, if your mentality is such that you just know you're a winner, that you shouldn't be punished because your team wasn't good enough.
Oh, well, that's how we judge sports, Mike. I mean, as you know.
I don't judge it that way. That's exactly how I think you got to be a mutt to be a loser, or not to be a winner. If you don't win, so let's say like Hart Wittes, hardened part mutt. No, he's not. No. Great player.
No. See, this is what I'm saying. When you're comparing great players, when you have to say great player versus great player, then the amount of times they have won, or if they have won, determines if they are a winner.
That's all right, so some starting wide receiver who's on a winning team is a winner just because he was carried along because the quarterback was great? That makes him a winner?
Remember I talked about, you start with being a great player.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And if you win, then you are a winner. Absolutely. Yes. Wow. That's just how that works.
All right, let's go to Laura in Rockledge. What's up, Laura?
Oh, my Lanta. I don't know if you guys need couple counseling or bourbon or booze. But Lord in heaven, I have a headache right now.
Come on. It's a spirited debate. It's just like a classic sports argument.
I think you should take a bottle of bourbon to couples counseling is what I think she should do and see how that goes. So let me just get into this real quick because I do have something about the winning thing. But my first question, because Brian, I need your input on this. So my father went to Villanova Law School. He went to Drexel undergrad and went to Villanova Law School. And when, you know, Nova's in the Final Four and he's saying, oh, my team. And I'm saying to him, how's that your team? No, that doesn't count. You didn't go to undergrad. Nobody in law school is playing on the basketball team. So is he wrong in claiming?
You know, this is a really good question. And I've had this argument with some people that went to Temple Law School but didn't go to Temple University. They're Temple basketball fans.
Okay.
I actually think that if you have spent multiple years on a university campus, whether it's post-grad or pre-grad, okay. I think that you have a hard connection to the sports team, yes.
Brian, what's your opinion?
I think that if you have walked and you have that paper in your hand that says Villanova, whatever, grad school, undergrad, then you're a Villanova person. Man, woman, child, you're a Villanova person. And you can celebrate the basketball team, baseball team, anything. Absolutely.
Except if you go to Temple undergrad and Villanova Law School, and then a la carte it and say you're a Villanovian because they're a good basketball team. No, that would be a violation.
Okay. Well, he went to Drexel undergrad, so I don't think we need to worry
about that. Drexel.
So I lost that argument. Okay, fair enough. Now, Brian, and I'm kind of afraid to poke the bear here on this one, but so by your theory or your standards of winning, is Carson Wentz a winner because he has a Super Bowl ring, even though he didn't do a doggone thing to earn that ring?
He certainly did. He won 11 games.
Well,
remember, this is the first criteria.
You got to start with being a great player. If said great player wins the big game, he's a winner.
Okay.
If you're not a great player.
But see, she's found a loophole in your argument, however.
No, he's not a great player.
But
he was a winner. They don't win unless he starts that year.
Thank you.
No, Mike, listen to me. There's a criteria. A, number one, yes or no. If he's not a great player, if the answer is no to that, then he cannot be a winner, period.
Well, he would. Okay. All right.
That's just the way it is.
Okay, so he had to be the last man standing.
He has to be a great player. He has to be a great player. If he's not a great player, and they win the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. All right, so Nick Foles, by your measure, would not be a winner. He wasn't a great player.
No, he's not. He won the Super Bowl, yes. He is not a great player. Absolutely not, no. You know what, Mike? Here's a question about coaches. If a coach does not win, Brett Brown, is he a winner?
No.
Why?
Well, it wasn't a sterling track record. I mean, it wasn't like he retired as Krzyzewski, but he was fired.
Well, he wasn't a great coach, right?
No, he didn't win enough in general to be considered a winner.
You know what that's called? He wasn't a great coach. That's my point. He wasn't a great coach. You have to start by being a great coach.
Yeah, I didn't even. At this point on a Friday, my brain is limp. So
that's what I'm going to do.
You should get on your horse this weekend and ride into the sunset. How's that?
Absolutely, I will.
All right, man. Thanks. It's been a great hour. We'll talk to you. There he is. It's a great Brian Westbrook joining us on a Friday. That was spirited. I like it. I like stuff like that. All right, so 5 o'clock hour. Jen.
Yes.
I've got an interesting it was an advice column subject.
Okay.
That I'm going to throw your way in the 5 o'clock hour.
All right. I'm here for it.
Connor. Connor's a youngin', but I think you need a little more experience to answer this question, but we'll get Connor's view as well.
Okay.
All right. 610-632-0975. We roll. This is the last hour on a Friday. It's always a special hour. You always want to be a part of it. And we're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Lover boy, weekend special hour, 5 o'clock Friday hour. It's brought to us by Guided Door and Window. By any window or door, the second at 50% off, plus you get interest free financing for up to 18 months. Just call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or check them out online at goguida.com. All right, so the question that we asked today, that's also part of our Twitter poll. If a god of basketball came down and said, okay, listen, I'll give you a split in Miami in the next series, but you got to lose game 4 and throw caution to the wind for the rest of this Toronto series, would you take that deal? Now, there are two arguments. One is the one Brian Foster, which is to say, I take that deal because a split Miami is very important. And I look at it like, okay, that's fine. Except if you extend to a game 5, you never know what can happen in a game 5. And I'm not talking about the Sixers losing the series. I'm talking about having to spill your bucket for another 48 in a game that you probably shouldn't have to play. And if something happens, that somebody turns an egg, whatever, to me, that would be a terrible thing. So I would rather take the sweep. And I would count on them getting a split anyway without basketball head coming down and telling me that I could have this deal. Now, you guys have had time to think about it. Have you changed your mind?
No, I'm standing pat with where I'm at. And I understand your side of the argument. I think it's just a point of philosophy. And I think more the base level is how much faith you have in the team. It seems like you have more faith in the merits of the team than I do matched up against Miami. Like, I need that guarantee, and I feel like I'd rather
have... You're scared to death.
Yeah.
That's what that means.
Scared to death.
You're scared to death.
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, I don't want anything more to do with Toronto. I don't want to have to go through another five, meaningless game five. I want them out of my life. So I want this four-game sweep, and I want them to just heal up and rest and practice and plan for Miami.
Yeah, but
I would rather have.
I'm taking the sure thing, like the sure win against the better team, rather than the win against the lesser team.
All right, Jen, you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. But I hear your side of it. Mm-hmm. I get it. Rest, 7 days rest, or whatever it ends up being, would be great.
And besides that, I want that Drake to shut his damn mouth. I want that whole Toronto crowd that was, you know, yelling obscenities and, you know, that guy behind the basket and all that crap. I just want them out of my life and let them worry about hockey because that's what they should be worried about.
Now that I can get behind.
All right. Stick to hockey. All right, Jen.
Yes.
You know, I love to read these advice columns. And so I stumbled across one today and it reads like this, the question. I recently told my partner that sex with them has never been as good as sex with my ex. I was angry and I wanted to hurt them and I said it. And maybe I enjoyed telling them that too. It made me feel sexy. But now I regret it because they haven't been able to enjoy sex with me since. They keep trying. I think she's using the they and the them because it's gender neutral. They keep trying, but it always falls apart because they assume that during sex, I am thinking of how I would rather be with my ex. Is there a way to fix this? Is the question.
Time?
Time!
Time might be the only thing that fixes that one. Just put some time in between it, and maybe it will just start to lessen over that time. That's tough, though. Because, of course, they're going to think that you're thinking about your ex the whole time. She would have had...
You cannot put that toothpaste back in the tube.
That's exactly correct. You cannot. Try as you might.
Connor?
It ain't going back.
You're a youngin'. You know? I don't know whether you would think of doing that or somebody would think of doing that to you.
I would never do that. And I would hope no one would ever do that to me. Like, think I'm
if someone ever did that to you and said that, what would your reaction be?
That's curtains on that relationship.
That's
I mean, because Jen's right. Like, even if you go ahead and you try and pull the full 180 as the person who said that and say, no, you know what? I was lying. I was just trying to hurt you. I actually enjoy being with you much more. Like, you're always going to have that. The seeds of doubt have been sown, and there's no coming back from that. So time, maybe, but I don't even think time gets that done. That's a low blow.
So you
right
can no longer sow the seeds of love, as Tears for Fears would say.
Absolutely not.
But you sowed the seeds of doubt.
Now, what you could do if you wanted to be petty the other way is you could be like, well, you know what? There's another person in my past that is better than you. And then you level the playing field. But then it turns toxic and it fails anyway.
Look at you, man. So, you have a good understanding of relationships for a youngin'.
For someone who hasn't been in many.
Well, you make a good BF.
One day. We'll get there.
All right.
You got to narrow down the options first.
All right. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show. And again, this, you know, don't take this responsibility lightly of being a caller in the 5 o'clock hour on a Friday. As I always say, you can always remember it. You can always recall it. Sit around with your grandchildren. Tell them a tale. All right, let's go to Dave in Center City. Oh, my God, Dave. Dave is checking in the 5 o'clock hour. What's up, Dave?
I just called. We dead on the phones?
No. Well, in this hour, yes, we have some open lines. Yes.
I'm just checking.
You didn't have to remind people of that. See, you don't think. You don't think before you speak.
Yeah, but
anyway, go ahead.
You mentioned you were at the TLA.
I was at the TLA, yes. Yeah.
How many times did you see the Rocky Horror Show there as a youth growing up?
How many did I see the Rocky Horror Show? I never saw the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, wow. We couldn't get enough of that.
Yes, I never saw the Rocky Horror Show.
So what's going to happen with the basketball? I guess the Sixers close it out?
Well, we sit around and we follow the Phillies for a little bit.
Yeah.
In fact, tonight against the Brew Crew.
Yeah. Any reason why Girardi's used 13 different starting lineups in 13 games? That's really not why.
You're not a Girardi fan, are you?
No. Well, look at it this way, Mike. His last 5 years with the Yankees, he averaged 86.5 wins. That is great if you're a Pirates fan. He's living off that title that in 10 against the 09 against the Phillies.
Yeah.
I thought he would mix in some old school baseball principles with analytics, but he's pushing all the wrong buttons with the bullpen. Mm-hmm. The bullpen can't be that bad 3 years in a row.
It's still early, bro. Come on. Really, I'm not a big Girardi guy, but it's still early. You can't. I mean, they're 5-8. There's 13 games in.
Getting back to the NBA, to the Bulls, pull one over the Bucks or no?
I don't think they can win it. But they're obviously going to extend the series now, so that doesn't help the Bucks.
What about Nets Boston?
There's no way the Nets win this series.
No,
but the Savior's coming back in game 4. So if they could just hold on and let Ben rescue him.
Oh, he'll be doing all the dirty work.
He's going to be fantastic. You know after having played since last June. He's going to kill the league.
You know how many uncontested dunks he's going to get?
None. He's going to run and hide. I got to be honest with you, I don't even think he's playing game 4, so hold on to that thought.
Yeah, I watched the last Boy Scout last night in its entirety. I forgot Halle Berry had a nice little scene in there with her 79 Corvette.
Yeah.
You guys have a good week.
All right, man. Yeah, Halle Berry. Short part before she got zipped.
Yeah, so we have a Shams tweet that we need to address real quick on one Joel Embiid.
Oh, yeah.
So there's fear that Philadelphia 76ers All-NBA star Joel Embiid has a torn ligament in his right thumb, but Embiid has vowed to continue playing through the injury. Embiid will rely on his pain tolerance and Sixers medical staff.
Oh, my God.
So there's the first.
I don't think he helped himself with that rousing throwdown.
Yeah, he was holding his hand for like the whole rest of the quarter.
Yeah. Well, that's not good.
No.
It's a shooting hand, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's not good. So what would you do? Would you hold him out of game 4?
No, absolutely not. If he's saying he's going to play through it, you got to just continue to go through. Because I can't imagine it's going to get any better if it's torn.
Yeah.
So he's just going to have to play through it.
All right, that's not good news. Here's your Phillies lineup for tonight against Milwaukee, who's not off to a great start. Well, they're 8-5. They're pretty good. But they haven't been hitting.
No.
So you got Segura leading off, Hoskins, Harper, Castellanos, Realmuto, Schwarby, Boehm playing third. Camargo is your shortstop.
Oh, no.
And in center field, Odubel Herrera gets the start tonight.
I mean,
you knew it was going to happen at some point.
Once they brought him back.
Against Freddy Peralta. Good pitcher.
Yeah.
They got sort of lefties in there. Your lineup from Milwaukee, guess who's leading off for the Brew Crew tonight?
McCutchen?
Yes. Andrew. He's hitting 250. He's their DH tonight.
Yeah, he doesn't have the legs to play the outfield anymore at his age, so that DH is a blessing for him.
Yeah. All right. By the way, speaking of TV shows, I finished the first season of Severance.
Oh, so I've heard that's really good.
Well, here's the thing about Severance. It's so odd that it makes your head hurt.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound pleasurable.
And you are left with trying to figure out things that make your head hurt. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad. Because they slogged along all season, and and then all of a sudden the finale was an episode. But it still didn't answer every question.
Hmm.
And it literally made my head, I got a headache trying to figure it out.
Was it enjoyable?
I don't know.
You haven't figured it out
I don't yet. Know if a show that makes your head hurt can be enjoyable.
Okay.
Because I am left with many questions, like, I found myself saying, okay, well, what about this and how about that? And how did she get that? And, you know, like it didn't, it didn't make enough sense to me.
Now, are these like plot holes that are not filled, or is this something they're going to come back and wrap
up? Well, listen, the last episode was a great prelude to another season.
Okay.
I'm just trying to process the first season, and it was difficult to process it.
So you feel like there should have been more tied up that occurred in this season before hitting the break to go to the next
I think
one.
More substance should have been delivered earlier in the series.
Okay. So it's possible they come back and get it, but you just feel like to this point they should have done more to not like leave you completely out on a cliff. If I'm kind of getting...
Yeah.
Okay.
They tried to tie a lot of ends. They just didn't tie a lot of ends.
Okay. So would you recommend it? You don't know yet.
Yeah, it's extremely weird. So you really have to have a lot of stamina to get through the first six episodes. Because it's just odd. And it's odd on top of odd. And you're going, okay, where's this going? I know it's odd. That's fair. That's great. Wonderful. But like, where does it go with this oddness? And then you can't like, if a whole season is odd, you can't throw one episode out there to make it un-odd.
Okay.
You know?
I guess.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, people are, this has been a very big chat room discussion on this show. So I don't know how anybody else feels if you had the stamina to get through the oddness of it.
All right.
Let's go to John in Port Richmond. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Oh, let me take you off speaker, okay?
Yes, how you doing, buddy?
I just want to, like, say, like, two things real quick. I usually call on Fridays. I haven't called in a while, so, like, what's up, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, Sean. I wish Ty was here, too, to say what's up, but Connor's, you know, got the mic.
That was a ringing endorsement there. Appreciate it.
Connor's got the mic.
Well, you got the mic. You got the mic. But I want to say, number one, like, congratulations to Jay Wright for a great career and blessings to him and his family. And thank you from a fan for bringing two championships to the Philadelphia area, as well as just years of awesome competitive basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, I think that's well said.
Even Final Fours, you know, when we lost against North Carolina. It was just like, he gave it all. And I'm a friend who appreciate it. So that's all I got to say.
Good stuff. That's good. Nice.
All right. And then I want to tell you real quick before I get off the phone how much I despise Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Right? So I work at a ramen bar, right? And I had a Ben Simmons shirt that I made a work shirt, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I need the work shirts because I'm not, like, well off like that where I got, like, a whole bunch of work shirts.
Yeah.
So I just put strips of duct tape down his name and across to his 25 number, and then right across, and then I just blacked it out with Sharpie, his 25 on the front.
Uh-huh.
And like everyone might be like, oh, why are you wearing Simmons? I'm like, why am I wearing Simmons? I turn around and then they're like, did you see the duct tape? So,
is it uncomfortable with that duct tape?
I mean, it kind of gets uncomfortable. I have to replace it a lot, and I have to make sure I don't wash it with the duct tape. Because then the duct tape gets like.
Well, yeah.
Everywhere.
See, the money you're spending on duct tape, though, you say that I'd be getting a jersey.
No, not a jersey. Not a jersey.
A t-shirt. You know what I mean? Oh, wow. Yeah.
So.
All right.
Getting excited on a Friday.
Yeah, well, that's what Ben does to people. Does that to me, too.
Riles the folks up.
Yep. Let's go to Vince in Delaware. What's up, Vince?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Well, you know, I was listening to you guys talk, you and Brian mostly talking about
the winner or not a winner.
Yeah. But, you know, Nick Foles is a good example. You know, he's a winner, but he's not a great player. So I think you guys are both right. I think you can have it that way, right? I think a winner is somebody who wins the big game, wins the Super Bowl, wins the NBA championship. That's a winner. And there's lots of great players who are not winners, and there's lots of winners. We're not great players. So.
Well, let's stay with Foles here.
All right,
he's a semi-winner because he was unable to win, come close to winning anywhere else. So, this is the thing why I get confused. Like, if you look at a player and he plays the hardest he can to win, that's a winner. You don't have to have the championship to make you a winner. And Foles is a great example. He was a temp who had a run of six games, and the team won. He had a lot to do with it, but he hasn't been a winner anywhere.
Except for the Super Bowl.
In one small window was he a winner. So I give credit to people who have played an entire career and were accomplished players. To me, that's a winner, even if you don't win the championship.
You know what? I understand what you're saying, and I don't 100% disagree with you, but I think there's a distinction. The opposite of a winner isn't a loser. You know, there's people that won the big game. Everybody acknowledges they won the big game. They were a big part of that win some way, five on a basketball team or, 11 or 22 on a football team. They're a big part of that win. That's the winner. He does that all the time, or he did it that one time. But, it doesn't mean you're a loser. But there's a lot of great players that never have won, quote unquote, the big game. They've won lots of games. They've been winning their whole lives. But they didn't win whatever we call the big game or whatever sport it is in. I don't hold that against them. They're great players.
Well, I think that people who say they're not winners do. Like in James Harden's case, they hold it against them. Even though he's been a great player for a lot of years.
Well, I think that's correct. People, I think, are judging him a little bit too harshly. He is a great player. Mm-hmm. He just hasn't won the big game. So
I get it. But see, this is the Foles is a really interesting argument. Because he doesn't have the ability of a winner. He just temporarily got on a run. So does that make you an overall winner? Or do you include the other things where you really didn't exemplify anything that resembled a winner with your talent?
Yeah, it's a tough call. When you make the argument that some people have made, that Brian was making, like there's a lot of gray area there that gets brought in on guys that mm-hmm. are sort of talented, but won, like the basketball equivalent, not so much Foles because he did it multiple times, but Robert Horry is not in the conversation with the greats of the game, but Big Shot Rob would get hot at the right time and was part of a lot of championships.
Luckiest player ever.
So is he a winner?
Like, yeah, that'd second be a luckiest tough one. Player is Danny Green.
Yeah, so it's a tough one to say because like he made shots at points, but you can objectively say he's not a great player.
All right, let's look at Debo Samuel.
Okay.
Does he play like a winner?
He does, absolutely.
He hasn't won. So is he the non-winner?
Yeah, like for me, I would call him a winner. But so the other thing, Jimmy Garoppolo then, he's been to a Super Bowl. Would you call Jimmy Garoppolo a winner?
He's won more than he's lost, hasn't he?
He has.
He shows a guttiness. I look at talent plus guttiness. Now, he's not overly talented, so that probably takes him out of the equation. But a guy like Charles Barkley, did he play like a winner?
Yeah, Barkley's absolutely a winner. He's one of the greats of all time.
But by the definition that we talked about today, he didn't win. He's not a winner. That, to me, doesn't jive.
No, it can't be just black and white. There has to be that gray area where you can bring guys into that category without just exclusively championships.
Well, is there a difference between a champion and a winner? A couple people brought that up on Twitter. Because I would say that Nick Foles is a champion, but not necessarily a winner. I would say McNabb is a winner,
you created another
but not
category.
A champion. Yeah.
A champion. All right. Maybe that takes it out of, maybe that explains it better.
Or
there's three
helps
levels
to muck it up a
champion,
little bit more.
Champion, winner, non-winner.
Because Nick Foles won a championship. So he's a champion, but I would not consider him a winner.
So what do you put the category of winner higher than champion?
No.
Or vice versa?
I don't think so.
No, champion higher than winner.
See, I disagree. I would put winner above champion.
I might too.
Yeah.
Really?
Because to me, McNabb is a winner.
Champion, you can get lucky.
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
Now my brain's in a pretzel.
I know.
It's extra category.
All right. 610-622-0975 is how you climb into the show. If you want to be one of the final callers that we have for today, do so. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The biggest names in Philly sports talk are on 97.5 The Fanatic. The John Kincaid Show.
I'm not saying it would be a disaster if the Sixers had to come back on Monday night and play a game five. But what I'm supposed to have heard is that now James Harden brings them an entirely different playing personality. Well, if that's the case, the series is over by dinner time tomorrow night.
The Anthony Gargano Show.
I don't know what's going to happen against Miami, but he's ready to win. He's ready to win right now. You can see his focus. You can see him. Like, he wants it bad. That's the one thing that has really popped out is how bad they want it.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
You know, the thing about Philadelphia fans is we're smart. Like, we don't go, okay, well, now they're going to beat the Heat because of the way they look in the series. Every series is different. And if they stumble in game one, then we're going to go back to being the same complainers. Well, Doc didn't do this. Tobias didn't do that. And Harden can't get by anybody. This is why I just want the damn game to come. It's going to come soon enough.
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia. More of the Mike Missinelli Show now
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, 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 Jen Scordo, it's time for the final Twitter poll numbers. Twitter poll today brought to us, as always, by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. Check out your power equipment, see if it's maintaining and operating at its peak level. Schedule maintenance, especially for your lawnmower, at poweredbymoyer.com. All right, Jen, what do we have?
All right, these final numbers. Here's your option from the god of basketball. The Sixers lose game four against the Raptors, but they get a guaranteed split in Miami to start round two against the Heat. Are you taking the deal? 37% say no. 63% say yes.
63% did they vote before they heard the news about Joel Embiid's thumb?
Well, yes. So Connor and I were just discussing that.
Uh-huh.
Because we were both yeses. However, now.
Oh, now I see.
We switch. At least see? I did.
Oh, Mikey Miss was concerned about that before we heard the news. Yes. That maybe something could happen in game five. So
you
now,
are absolutely correct.
The basketball head god is you're taking that deal.
Well, I'm still not. Because they're going to have a tougher time, I think, stealing one in Miami with him being injured playing against a better team. So I'm certainly taking the guaranteed win in round two now.
See, now I want to win tomorrow with Embiid and then rest for 7 days. Yeah.
But will rest help him much?
If it's ligament damage, probably not going to help that much.
Right.
All right. I got you. Okay, let's go back to the phone. Let's get some calls in here. Many calls as we can. And if you want to climb in and quickly, it's 610-622-0975. Eric in Marlton joins us. What's up, Eric?
What's up, guys? Shout out to you guys. Happy Friday and
you
all that.
You too, buddy. How you doing?
I'm great, man. Thank you. So just to talk about the two debates that you guys are talking about. First, Mike, I'm with you. They're going to sweep. They are clearly, I don't care what's wrong with Joel. They are clearly the better team. And then you get 7 days off to rest. And honestly, just to be, you know, I'm a Knicks fan, so I'm saying this not as a fan of the, unfortunately, a Knicks fan. I'm not a fan of the Sixers. I think the Sixers beat Miami in five, you know, six tops. So I don't know that the Sixers can't go there and win two games. I don't think it's in stone. I don't know why everybody's making Miami out to be Golden State, but that's my thought.
Yeah, I'm not so sure they can win two games in Miami to start the series. And Miami's a pretty good team. And Spoelstra has really proven to be an effective coach against what the Sixers do.
He's a great coach, but I'm not convinced. I'm not sold on Miami. If it was Milwaukee, maybe, but I'm not sold on
Miami. I like six, though, because I don't want a game seven to have to be won in Miami.
I would not. That I wouldn't like. But I don't think it's going to come to that. I think the Sixers win in six tops.
I'll go with that. I like it.
Thank you. And then the other debate is the winner conversation. B. West brought up Patrick Ewing. I'm obviously a Knicks fan. And to me, Patrick Ewing's a winner. Dan Marino, a winner. Charles Barkley, a winner. You know, Foles and Wentz, they're not champions. They were on a championship team. But to me, they're not champions. To me, what defines a winner is your body of work. You know, how you carry yourself on and off the field.
I agree. Now, why didn't the Knicks win? Well, they had a pretty tough team they had to beat, right?
Well, you know what it is, too, and you know, I watched every Knicks game, you know, since I was a baby. I'm 46 years old. They never gave Patrick Ewing a star player. He really, he never had. You know, Charles Wilkie was a nice player, but he was
he had John Starks as his second best player, right?
Yeah, that wasn't enough. And you brought up Jordan before, and not to take away from Jordan, he's the GOAT. So I'm not, you know, that. Uh-huh. But Jordan couldn't beat that Pistons team, you know, by himself. He couldn't beat the Celtics either. People forget about how really, really good Scottie Pippen was. You know, I know he's made some, you know, ridiculous comments.
Well, Jordan didn't win without him.
Yeah, Pippen was great, and people discount how good Horace Grant was, and then he retired and came back, and then Dennis Rodman was phenomenal. Even Dennis Rodman was as almost as important as Pippen was. So, you know, I agree with you on all arguments today, Mike. Shout out to you guys.
You're a very smart man, Eric. I appreciate this, the intelligence that you've brought to the end of the show.
He's absolutely right with the winners thing. My only thing with what he was saying about the Heat not being the Golden State Warriors, these two teams, the Heat and the Warriors, both finished the regular season 53-29, same exact record.
Yeah.
So you can't underestimate the Heat like he was doing. But his point on the winners was absolutely correct.
Yeah, but Patrick Ewing, unfortunately, had to get past the Jordan juggernaut.
Yeah.
And it was tough.
Absolutely. He was right.
To Mark and Alney. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
What's up, Mark?
I just want to say two things real quickly about the Sixers and whether you would do that deal to get the sweep or not. You definitely go with the sweep. It's just, you never defer a victory. Never, ever. It's just not what you would do if you're playing sports. So the future is uncertain. There's an uncertainty principle always out there. So you take the sweep, get the rest, and you still want to split Miami anyway. So you would never, ever defer a victory, ever.
I agree. So if basketball, you would refuse the basketball god.
Oh, yeah. You definitely want to get all the wins you can get as soon as you can get them. There's no doubt about that. That's just the basic philosophy.
I agree, because then you're tempting fate, and something bad could happen in Game 5.
Exactly. And, you know, Jimmy Butler could blow an ACL, and Bam Adebayo could, you know, pop a, you know, his, you know, ligament. So, you know, the future is uncertain. Take what you can get. So if somebody's giving you a victory, take it.
I totally agree with you. How come all these smart people are coming out late in the show?
5 o'clock hour.
What's going on, Mark?
But with regard to the winners, Nick Foles, the guy has a statue outside of the stadium. And he has shirts in Canton. He's a winner. If you look at his QBR in the playoff runs, they're higher than Tom Brady's. There's a lot of having to be at the right place at the right time if you're a player to be able to succeed as a champion.
How come you didn't make anybody else win?
It's a team effort.
So now it's a team effort. So you just contradicted yourself. So he was with a great team that made them win.
Well, conversely, Donovan McNabb was with a great team and he made them lose. So he's not a winner. Yeah,
but he won a lot of games.
On a great team.
You're showing a little hatred for McNabb, who was the better quarterback than Nick Foles, and love for Foles, who couldn't tie his shoelace.
If you recall, I sent you the spreadsheet of McNabb's performance before
analytics. Yeah, so you're a McNabb hater, so you're tainted.
His statistics show you he was a middle-of-the-road quarterback statistically across every statistic.
Well, won a lot of games until he got to the NFC title game. So, was he a winner or was he not a winner? And I don't know.
He was not a middle-of-the-road quarterback.
No, he's the best quarterback in franchise history. Can't be a middle-of-the-road guy. Yo, you have to have accomplishment. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that I thought he played his worst in his most important game, so that kind of interferes with the concept of being a winner.
Yeah.
But a body of work, I think, and makes you the best quarterback in franchise history, leans more to be you being a winner than not.
Yeah, you can make that argument. He was just not using the right data or the right argument for it.
Right. Lou in Lafayette Hill. What's up, Lou?
Yeah, Mike, listen, a couple things going on in sports today. Obviously, the biggest thing I know of right now, basketball, Jay Wright retiring at age 60.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's going to have any prospects for anything further in basketball? And secondly, what do you think about all these nice changes that baseball has made with a designated hitter and making the bases bigger?
They didn't make the bases bigger this year. That doesn't go into effect. That has not been approved yet. The only change has been really the DH.
Well, I thought this year they were going to make the base.
No, they didn't do that this year. They didn't put the pitch clock in. They're experimenting with it at a lower level.
Do you like that idea that they proposed?
Yeah, I do.
What do you think about this, the shift in baseball when he's in Cincinnati? They had five or six players.
Yeah, listen, I've always been a pro shift guy because I think it's a defensive tactic that rewards your scouting. And I don't understand like why it would be a bad thing. But so many people bitch about it at this point. I've given in. So many fans hate it. I go, all right, whatever.
Yeah, but fans go to the baseball. You know, defense is always nice if somebody. But when you have five guys,
I don't care. It's a strategy. It's a well thought out strategy. Now, in basketball, if you put a zone in there, is that bad?
They don't play zone that much.
Well, they do. You do anything that would help your team win. Like I don't understand. Like the shift.
Don't you like to see somebody hit a base hit over the second baseman's head instead of having four guys, maybe.
Well, guess what? The defense is more savvy than you because they looked at it analytically and they said, okay, you're going to hit it here. Why won't I play here? I don't understand what's wrong with the shift. I'm not an anti-shift guy.
Yeah, I'm against the shift too.
Well, they're going to change it for you. That's why I've given in. I'm tired of wrestling with people over this shift thing. I think the shift is a product of great scouting. And if you scout better to beat a team, you should be rewarded for that.
Yeah, I don't think the issue is the shift is broken. I think for the good of the game, it's sort of like the 3-second rule in the lane in basketball. Like, it's a rule not so much because the shift is a bad strategy. It's because they're trying to improve the product of the game by allowing hitters to hit more freely. I don't think it's necessarily because the shift is dumb.
Whatever. I've given up.
Okay.
I've given up. Like, I'm with these little wrinkles that they've taken out of the game. I'm not traditionalist to that point. Yeah, pitch clock's fine by me. The bases, the ghost runner on second. I got no problem with any of that stuff. The shift, and people freak out about the shift, and I'm going, well, the shift is a product of intelligence.
Yeah.
You know, like you're supposed to study the game and be more intelligent about it to give you an edge.
I agree with you, but the powers that be are saying it's an edge they don't want in the game anymore, so they're changing it to help the product of the game, I think.
All right. Whatever. Baseball haters out there. We're going to make it more action. It's a timeless piece. Sit there and enjoy the time. I like the defensive strategies.
Yeah, listen.
I get it. All right, let's take a break. It's our final break of the show. We'll come back. We got sound off on the other side on the Mike Missinelli Show to wrap up the week.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
Sound off. You got a beef with me. What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Let's keep going. Sound off.
All right, it's time for Sound Off, 610-771-9705. That's how you get in when you got something to say, like tomorrow at about 4:30. Hit us up and let us know how you like this week. So, all right. So, sound off to end the week. Let's see what we got.
Yo, Mike and Ty, I just was listening to Sound Off, and man, you would have thought the Sixers lost the game. That one guy, they called in and was talking about Joel's going to cry again when they lose the game. Man, how angry is that guy at his life?
Yeah, there are a lot of people out there like that. So you just got people say to me, how do you put up with it? Ah, you know, everybody's got entitled to an opinion, whether it's wrong or not.
You going to try to tell me that Charles Barkley and Allen Iverson weren't winners because they didn't win a championship? With my own eyes, I can see that their will and determination to win. Them great players, like a third of the NBA Center Finals, they didn't win championships. So you going to tell me some bench player that was on some championship team was a better or more of a winner
than
all those guys on that list?
No, Brian was saying you have to be a star player. And then you can't be a bench player because then you wouldn't be considered a winner. You have to be a really good player, and then the conversation comes in.
You know, I usually call Sound Off to criticize Tobias Harris and criticize Glenn Rivers. Today, I'm calling to give them their flowers. In these three games, these two gentlemen have been above and beyond exceptional. And I just want to say thank you for stepping it up, Tobias. Thank you for making the adjustments, Doc. Let's go, Sixers.
All right.
That was big of him.
That was big, and he's right on both counts. And we've kind of, you know, said the same thing.
That's personal growth. Big for Philadelphia.
Yep.
Love that.
There you go.
I'd like to sound off about Jay Wright. He reminds me of Rocky Marciano. He's going out of town. No maudlin farewell tours, none of that drama. I just wish him the best of everything in this next chapter of his life.
You know what I heard? I heard the guy say, I want to sound off about gay rights.
I heard that too.
Yeah.
And I'm going, oh, well, are we going to get political here? Oh, it's Jay Wright, he meant.
Jay.
All right, there you go.
I see where J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is moving to tight end. That's great. Reminds me of what my wife says every time she sees a pile of junk sitting in the garage. Do something with it or throw it out.
You know, I don't actually think it's a bad move. He's got to eat a lot of steak and potatoes. You know, he's got to get up to at least 245.
Yeah, bulk
right?
up a bit, yeah.
They already love his blocking.
Yeah, they love his blocking. At 225, we'll see, like, at tight end how good of a blocker he is.
Yeah, against edge rushers.
Yeah, we'll try to make something out of the guy.
I guess.
I don't know how I would take that if I'm him. I'm a failure wide receiver. It's my natural position. So now I got to gain 25 pounds to see if I can play tight end in this league. That's pretty much telling him he's useless.
I'd be thrilled I'm still on the team if I was him. That's just me.
Close it down? We closing it down? All right, good. Connor, close it down.
The best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com. Yo.
Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
All right. By the way, our preferred pick of the week is the Sixers to sweep. They're a 3-point favorite. That's a little light. Anyway, the preferred pick of the week, where I'm calling Sixers, is brought to you by Preferred Home Improvement, specializing in roofing, windows, and siding for more than 35 years. PHIBuilds.com is how you get them online. All right, thanks everybody for listening to the show. It was a fun show today. It was very argumentative.
It was fun.
I like those kind of shows. So stay tuned. 97.5, the Fanatic Draft Line show is coming up. Devon Givens and Jamie Lynch on NBC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for the On the Clock Draft Special. Everybody, have a wonderful weekend out there. You're mowing the lawn. Be safe. All right? Be safe if you're doing any yard work or any kind of that stuff in the good weather. And we'll talk to you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.